How's it going? We are rocking and rolling in the DealsWithD.com studios. What's poppin', everybody? It's the Wednesday edition of the Drew and Mike Show. Facebook Live, of course. We are live on Cinco de Mayo for the moment, assuming our internet holds up. And Mesa Tacos and Tequilas is open. DoorDash, Uber Eats, Curbside. What else do we do? Oh, Grubhub. And there's another one, too. Anyway, they've got the mocktails if you want to have a nice special tequila drink. For Cinco de Mayo, they're ready for you. And, of course, even after Cinco de Mayo, always got the great Maz Burgers, the chicken flautas, the fajitas, the quesadillas, all of it at Mesa in downtown Royal Oak. I'm going to get curbside tonight.
Make yourself
tonight.
A dang quesadilla.
Was that his aunt?
Yeah.
All right.
Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
I need to see that movie again. Okay, so today is Cinco de Mayo, and I failed yesterday to remember that it was our four-year anniversary for the podcast.
That's right.
4 years and a day ago, it was Mike Clark in here, Jay Timko. Jay had done so much work picking out equipment.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And putting it all together with tremendous stress and pressure because Mike Clark had had given out the data on Facebook a little early, and Fox 2 did a story, which was really nice.
You blew it!
And somebody else did a story, so we really needed to get going. So Jay was working some long hours and got us kicked off, and let's see, that was probably Mike's 15th to the last show because he wasn't doing too well after a couple. Well, he went to Torch Lake.
Oh, that's right. With those lovely bathroom facilities.
Yeah, he came back, and things really went south. Wow, he was really sick there for a while. I'm trouble breathing, and he had a trach, and then he got better. Then he was okay. I really thought he was going to be okay. And guess not. Something went south. And
awful.
Yeah, so anyway, 4 years and a day ago, I just don't know if I thought we'd be here in 4 years.
I know.
I don't think I thought that at all.
I don't know what I thought, but I'm kind of surprised that, 4 years later.
Yeah, it really kind of worked out pretty well. And remembering the early days, too, of we have 20,000 people, we have 30,000 people. Yeah. How many do we have? No, it's only 14,000. Our RSS feed says it's 14,000? That's impossible.
Yeah.
And then what do you know? The numbers started going up. And then we got some more attention from, Ryan Armani did that nice story on us.
Yep.
And Channel 4 did a nice story, Live in the D.
Thank you, Ryan, very much.
And then Mike Clark died for the show. He did it for the show, just like...
just like Falcon Heaney.
Falcon Heaney, exactly. And all of a sudden, we had over 100,000 people downloading the show every day, and it's pretty cool.
Still, there's
people. Yeah, I said that... we did this for the show.
Actual audio of Mike Clark.
Mm-hmm.
So not only was yesterday the 4th anniversary of the show, it was the 50th anniversary of Kent State.
Oh, yeah, For Dead in Ohio.
Yeah.
Which I can't play, so.
Oh, that's right. Maybe we'll play it later. Wait, there's another big Kent State song, too, isn't there? Shoot.
Their fight song?
No.
The Golden Flashes? I feel like Maz. I'm just doing an information dump now on them. Julian Edelman was their quarterback once, right? What else do we know about Kent State? Brandon, anything?
really don't know anything about it, to tell you the truth.
There's somebody will look it up and pass along on Facebook Live. But
I went to Ohio.
You know, if you're a millennial or an Xer, I'm sure you don't remember it. And is that a big deal to you, or is that like us before me? I don't even know what that is.
To me?
Yeah.
I mean,
historically speaking, does it seem like a pretty big thing?
So I went there once for an Eastern Michigan football game. My dad told me all about it. I was 11, and it meant nothing. It meant nothing to me then. I mean, now I understand the cultural significance of it, but it's still, it's hard to relate to it.
Probably same. It happened 14 years before I was born, so the only thing I really knew of it was Crosby, Stills,
yeah,
and Nash.
Yeah.
However, you know, it was a pretty incredible event, and I think it's significant now because not just the 50th anniversary yesterday, but, you know, to think that somebody would be protesting the Vietnam War, which, you know, looking back, didn't look like such a great idea. And people were taking over campuses. People were taking over buildings at Michigan.
Yeah, yeah.
And at Virginia Tech. And they were, you know, having sit-ins and people getting dragged away.
Tremendous school.
And, you know, it was all these stupid hippies and how dare they. And then, you know, a little retrospective and all of a sudden, Vietnam, it didn't go so well. That didn't go very well.
Did was the other song Marvin Gaye? What's going on? Was that Kent State or was that just generalized from the era?
I think it was generalized. Damn it! I'm getting pissed. So, you know, in other words, the hippies were right. It was a shit war, mm-hmm. and they didn't want to go over there. And you know, I remember the birthday draft, and in my fifth grade class, you know, they actually did the birthday draft. It was like, I think I was number 310. I was like, whew, boy, I missed out on that one. I mean, not that I was going to be drafted in fifth grade.
But,
you know.
But what number did they start at? Because they don't start at one, right? Don't they then draw?
Yeah, the first birthday was one.
Oh, so you were three. Okay, so, I'm sorry. You were from there on. Okay.
And, you know, a lot of people's older brothers and cousins and stuff were going to Vietnam, and some weren't coming back, and some were coming back very different. And, you know, it was a
and a saluty, Rudy, toot, tooty back to you, my friend.
It was a horrible war. I mean, it was, and you know, if you've seen any of the movies, I don't think it's portrayed very favorably by anyone. But it's another one of those things where, you know, everyone's led to believe that this is what we have to do, and you shut the fuck up. Yep. And you know, it was all a bunch of long haired, drug taking hippies who didn't like it, and it was a little more. The protesting was a little more thoughtful than that. So anyway,
I blame California and marijuana.
What's interesting about Penn State or Kent State is Ohio and the whole music scene there too. You know, the Devo guys all went to Kent State.
Yeah, somebody, and this is just somebody. I wish I knew who it was, but it went by too fast. Said that is why Devo became friends with Neil Young.
Yeah, because they were at Kent State. They were there, and Jerry Casale.
An old buddy, are you here, Neil?
Mark, who did that? What is that drop?
It's Biden. Biden looking for his old butt
An
buddy.
An old butt buddy, are you here, Neil?
It's gonna be. There's gonna be some great debates.
That's a really good drop. Yeah. Jerry Casale and Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo went to Kent State, and they're feeling. I mean, they were absolutely shocked. How could this happen? How could the National Guard come in? And first of all, you know, they were having demonstrations on the campus. This National Guard group is called in because there was a kind of a rowdy night in town the night before, and there was a protest on that. I think it was a Saturday, May 4. And these guardsmen line up. It was 117 troops.
Oh, we have a protester.
They line up, and they basically push the protesters all over the campus. And they're throwing tear gas at them. It's a very windy day, so the tear gas is going everywhere. It wasn't really working. And the protesters were throwing the canisters back at the National Guard. And they were throwing rocks at them, and it was a really bad scene. Well, eventually, the protesters, who were getting kind of attacked from behind, they turned around, started marching back the other way, and then all of a sudden, they just stopped, turned, kneeled, and started firing.
Yeah.
67 bullets were fired in 13 seconds, and I guess that was an order. They had been told to lock and load, which means you're probably going to be firing your weapon, which, I mean.
So who gave that order? Anything ever happen to...
You know,
that guy?
That's a great question because I don't know.
And of course, there's the infamous picture with the girl.
Oh, yeah.
Over
you know,
the dead body.
That picture is awful. The funny thing about that picture. When I had my paper out then, as did the other two Triple Threat Trio members, Alec and Johnny, and our paper outs kind of intersected. And so, like, when the Paul is Dead thing came out, we met on the paper out, and it's like, oh my God, look, Paul McCartney's dead. What's going on? And, which is, you know, we were 10 years old. Sure. So we thought,
Paul McCartney.
You know, you see it on the front of the Chicago Sun-Times. Hey, maybe he's dead. What's going on? And it was the same thing with Kent State. I remember that picture because it was on the front of both papers. It was on the cover of everything. that girl hovered over this dead student at Kent State. And this is so ridiculous. I don't know why. I thought it was Mama Cass. Does she look a little like Mama Cass?
I'm looking at her right now. Than Mama Cass.
I remember that today. It just seemed like it was Mama Cass to me. Like she just had been on a diet or something, I thought. But it was actually a teenage runaway, which is pretty hot.
Really?
It was a teenage runaway. The girl was only 14. Marianne Vecchio is her name. And can we see the picture?
Yeah, I'm looking at her right now.
She looked like Mama Cass at all?
I guess. I mean, long black hair.
She's a little heavy.
You know what's weird about that picture is everyone else just milling around.
Mama Cass was really big, though.
I know. I mean, I didn't mean it as an insult. I just, it was my 10-year-old brain. I wasn't a fully formed adult.
But see, to me, because this one happened so much, you know, before I was born, I never really, you know, I didn't hear the news about it. I didn't really read too much about it, only besides the song. But I always kind of saw this one and the Greensboro Massacre kind of be similar things, except that one's extremely racist. But just these old school shootings in public that killed a lot of people.
This is our National Guard shooting on a college campus. I mean, that's pretty intense. Over a war that was pretty stupid war. Really stupid. Yeah. And but you know, it was interesting reading about it today was that Jerry Casale and Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo were at Kent State. Joe Walsh went to Penn State. I don't think Joe Walsh was there that day, but I know he went to Kent State. Chrissy Hine was on campus that day.
Really?
Yeah, and she was at all the protests. Of course, as you would expect.
Yeah.
She was at all the protests. And they were referencing some of the other Akron, Ohio, and Ohio had a big music scene. I think it was the Waitresses who did I Know What Boys Like. Yeah.
I know what boys want.
Yeah, and they have the Christmas song, too, Christmas Rapping.
Really? That sounds like a great one.
It's not a bad Christmas song. It's not the worst Christmas song. So anyway, and Mark Mothersbaugh, by the way, the lead singer of Devo, and Devo, they said that the reason they were inspired by Kent State was because, they just couldn't believe they were shooting on students who were protesting this horrible war that their friends were getting sent away to. And so they came up with this concept of de-evolution. We're de-evolutionizing. We're going backwards. And Devo had the funniest, artsiest films about de-evolution and the band and how it was. They were really cool, man. I mean, they were so ahead of their time.
Jerry Stubb on Facebook would like to point out that the Black Keys are from Akron.
are the Black Keys? Oh, I'm excited about it. That's not a bloop.
But the next one is Michael.
Michael Stanley?
Michael Lagaki said that Nick Saban was in the lunchroom that day. Because he was a defensive back at Kent State.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, I don't know if he was there, but it would. If he's not, that is a perfect lie to go forward because it sounds like it could be.
I love that I love that they put him in the lunchroom because he wouldn't be protesting. He's, you know, you wouldn't think he'd be protesting.
No.
So it makes sense that he'd be in the lunchroom. Or, you know, if he's getting his ankle taped or something.
Yeah, it'd be something.
That'd be another good lie.
He's bringing down film.
So, so anyway, crazy. Our show started on the Kent State anniversary 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And here we are. And what do I need to talk about today?
I'm just dying to know, like, the fallout from that, if someone got in trouble or arrested or...
You know, funny you mention that, because I was wondering the same thing today about something else, but I'll tell you in a second.
Interesting.
First, I want to mention Emergency Response Services Incorporated, our new sponsor. They are Southeast Michigan's fastest responders to your home or business, water extraction, drying needs, or mold, fire damage, storm damage, all that horrible stuff. And I'm excited because now I know I have someone I can call immediately. Because every time it happens, what are you gonna do? Call Rob. And, you know, it's just nice to think that there's someone who's ready to go at 877-JOB-DONE. Or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com and be sure to tell them that we sent you. And I hope you never, ever need these guys, but I tell you, when you need somebody, you need them fast. And then they're also involved in the disinfectant business. If you're an emergency plumber or you work for a plumbing supply house in Southeast Michigan, call now for your free COVID-19 disinfection treatment in your workplace or work vehicle. Why not?
Do it.
Do it, yeah.
What do you get?
I mean,
What have you got to lose?
Exactly. If you just need it drop. Done because you feel like, well, we really ought to disinfect this place, or you want to see if these guys can do the job, call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOBDONE.com for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. They have a great business card, by the way. I got to find it.
Yeah.
Good guys. Good guys.
Where's this other? I got to find this other comment. Christopher Cole commented that Gary Waters used to coach the basketball team at Kent State, which is true. I know exactly who Gary Waters is. And then he just decided to throw out that he looked like Dudley's dad from Different Strokes. Once again, he did. Fun fact, too. Gary Waters, I believe, is from Highland Park. So. What a pointless information dump by Christopher there.
I
laughed when I saw it. So.
Sometimes the more insignificant the trivia, the better.
I know. Here's some fallout from the Kent State shooting based on about 15 seconds of research on Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know 10 days later, there was a similar situation where two students were killed at Jackson State University?
What?
A historically black college, so no one cared, apparently.
Wait, at Jackson?
It was 10.
Jackson State, did you say?
10 days after
that's
the
where Sweetness
State.
Went.
Yeah, it is. He could have been in the lunchroom.
He's getting his ankle taped. I'm serious. I just remembered.
Hey, wait, that would have been a couple of years before he won the.
He was drafted in 75, I think. Okay. I think 75 was his
could
first
have,
season.
Could have been him.
Absolutely.
And then 8 of the guardsmen were indicted by a grand jury. They claimed to have fired in self-defense.
Wait, weren't they told to fire?
I spent 15 seconds researching this.
I just assumed that they were told, because they were told to lock and load when they were told to enter the campus. So they were indicted. Were they convicted?
In 74, district judge dismissed civil rights charges against all 8 on the basis that the prosecution's case was too weak to warrant a trial.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, somebody should have paid for that.
Well, how do you? Because people were wounded and didn't die, so how do you prove what bullet came from where?
I know. 13 people were wounded. One was paralyzed.
Oh, geez.
I know. It's just so bad. What a terrible chapter. My God. But you know what? You bring up the blame factor. Remind me. There's somebody who I want to know who they are because I'm pissed again. Let's see. Where did I write that down? It was the topic of unemployment today in Michigan. And, you know, Heather Cataldo did a story on Channel 7. And, you know, we've been hearing this constantly. People, I can't get over. I can't get a human on the line. I can't get anyone.
Sounds like
I'm
Comcast.
I'm not getting my check. It does sound like Comcast. But this is what's supposed to keep us moving forward and keep us eating and keep heat in our house and all that business is these checks. It's very important. Mm-hmm. And
has anyone got their refund check yet? Have you gotten yours, Brandon?
I have not.
Yeah.
So here's one of the reasons that things are kind of crazy. Remember that fraud detection system that incorrectly identified 90%?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're still paying for that?
Yeah. It's apparently that system still in play that's just got a lot of kinks in it, and it's just messing things up.
Why are we still using that system?
I don't know.
Can't we steal software from the state of Ohio and use theirs or something?
Well, the first thing, when I started listening to Heather talk about it and I started reading about it, I was thinking, okay, where's the picture of the person who made the decision to buy that system? Why isn't it on the cover of every paper? Why wasn't it on the cover of the paper that day? And I don't even think they were fired. You bought a $47 million computer system that incorrectly identified people 90% of the time as committing welfare or unemployment fraud.
Yeah.
And you charged them in terms of fining them 4 times whatever the fraud was, which was wrong in the first place. People lost homes. People lost marriages, people lost everything, and then when they figured it out and said, oh, no, sorry.
It's crazy.
Nice job, none of you.
And people said, okay, we're suing you because we lost a lot. And they said, nope, you only had 6 months. Sorry. I mean, what a pile of bullshit. So how can this thing, at a time like this, and the other thing, the other big complaint was, I need to talk to a human being. And wouldn't you think, okay, I'm going to do this at the risk of firing Elric up.
Uh-oh.
Wouldn't you think it'd be a good question at one of these press conferences
Yeah.
that Gretchen Whitmer has, our governor? And those are pool reporters, by the way. Those aren't her people.
We talked about it on Soul of Detroit, which will be posted tomorrow. I know it's on his Facebook page, live, because we talked to the signer, the main signer, Stacy. She was great, by the way. Found a lot.
When I connected on Facebook Live, the first thing that popped up was her just swearing up a storm.
Gee, I wonder who asked that question. Language. but she kind of said, you know, they rotate pool reporters in because of social distance, or they did when they were back in the tank top table days.
Because you will all get Pulitzer Prizes, okay? You will all get Pulitzer Prizes.
Tank tops, tops half off.
So to that point, if they're pool reporters and they're getting emails, and ML kind of broke down how that happens, why are these pool reporters asking the tougher questions in those emails?
ML was trying to, ML was trying to justify the question about the shooting. I don't know. I have to tell you, after seeing that story today, here's what I would ask at the next one. Why do we not have a bank of people answering the calls to the unemployment line? Why don't we have a special number that says, look, you will be answered within 10 minutes because people are going nuts, calling day in, day out, 20 times a day, 30 times a day. Isn't that important?
Yes, it should be paramount. It should be one of the most important things.
And I hear a lot of talk at these press conferences, and I understand her rating is very high. People love Gretchen Whitmer, but it seems to me this is something that's very, very important. It's something you can really feel and touch. It's not one of those esoteric things where, you know, we're doing this, we're doing that. This is real, and I just cannot imagine why such a poor job is being done. And by the way,
did I tell you what, when I called the SBA and I actually said to the ladies, well, what good are you? And I'm on the phone, which I hate doing. It's not me.
It feels good, though.
Well, trust me.
Sometimes you have to just let it all out.
Try to get a person on the phone with the SBA is damn near impossible. And so I talked to a lady, and she's, oh, that's not me. That's somebody else. And so she sent me to someone. Which is why I think I was mad, because the lady finally snapped. This second lady was like, I'm not the one that processes loans. And I said, okay, well, do you do blah, 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 blah? No. I said, well, what good are you anyway? Just talking on the phone.
Well,
I was cutting my tie. I had no time to lose.
Now is a time when having extra people operating, extra people at the phone banks would be really well received. People would really appreciate it.
You want to talk to someone who can help direct you in the right way. But I figured that the people at the SBA, they probably don't know much about the PPP either.
And no, everybody's probably understaffed, too.
I don't think your phone number is going to be blocked by all the government offices anytime soon.
No. But and it's the same as dealing with Comcast. Try to get a human on the phone now with Comcast. It's impossible. Other than Mr. Playboy that I talked to.
Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee, is a serious brew that will punch you in the face and give you double the caffeine of your typical cup of coffee, and you are enjoying Death Wish Coffee. Oh, my God, people are posting. It was really nice, by the way, because I can send those pictures to somebody who hopefully will keep Death Wish Coffee. I mean, this has been a massive success.
Thank you.
Cold Brew fan, there's packs 300 milligrams of caffeine if you're up for it. You can get this badassery all over Metro Detroit in your favorite stores, Kroger or Meijer. You have to yell Drew15 when you check out. They may or may not give you the discount. Or you can go online to deathwishcoffee.com/Drew for access to all the coffee products, the killer merch. And while you're there, use promo code Drew15 at checkout to save 15% on your entire order. That's deathwishcoffee.com/Drew, Drew15 at checkout. And they're contesting now, too.
Yeah.
Is that on their website?
It's on their website. There's a link on our website, too. Because I don't remember the direct link. I think it's deathwishcoffee.com/Drew. But just go to our site and click on their beautiful logo. It's a cool logo, too.
It's very cool. No, their marketing is really, really ballsy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about throwing a watch party. I don't know. What do you think?
It's not going to do anything.
No?
I don't know.
Just forget it?
I don't know.
Thank you, Jennifer. Tell Drew I ordered mine so you guys continue to cobble together a living. I did use a promo code. Thank you, Jennifer Dojikowski.
Yeah, that's a crazy last name. Dojikowski? Yeah.
Okay, so you don't think I should throw a watch party?
I'll throw it anyway. Everyone loves your watch party.
You know, I've had it with Facebook.
I've had it with everything internet related today.
Well, the other story that, man, this is a depressing story. the story about this guard that was shot at Family Dollar.
Yeah.
You know, I just cannot believe the story. Let's see. Wait, security guard. Sorry. Security guard.
Which, once again, it's sad that a dollar store needs to even have a security guard.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's ridiculous. Sad. And Ted sent me a great email.
It just must mean that they've had tons of problems in the past.
Shooting. And where was it, Holly? Or was that the other one?
Oh, the second one?
Yeah.
That was outside Holly. They found that guy. Genesee County, I think, is where he's from.
Yeah, that dude, you know, he's got... I still think his sunglasses are really cool. Would it be rude to call him, not ask him anything about what he did as far as wiping himself on the clerk shirt, but just ask him where he got his sunglasses?
Sunglasses, yeah. He does carry
Would that be
himself.
Too trite?
I got to say, what is he doing with such a large van, too? That's an extended... Look at that van. That's an
I know,
extended
it's
van.
Huge.
So many questions with this guy. See, good three, line, too. Here, I'll use this as a mask. Grabs her shoulder.
What a jack.
Are you surprised that she didn't react? She kind of froze and just
stood
there?
She was scared shitless.
Yes,
I really do. So, anyway, who are these people?
By the way, the man continued to be, quote, loud and disruptive inside the store before leaving in the white van.
You know, these poor people.
I'm trying to hear mumbling on the way.
There's one disgusting person.
These poor people in retail who are trying to make it a little easier to keep your to keep your life, to, you know, not spread this horrible thing. And some guy has to yell at this young girl who's about half his height and wipes. What a disgusting. I want him.
That is a disgusting act.
I want him and Aunt Becky to get parole when they're 94. Both of them.
I was outraged.
Dick. Okay, so three family members have been charged in the killing of a security guard who told a customer at Michigan Family Dollar Store to wear a state-mandated face mask. Calvin Moonerland, 43, died at Flint Hospital after shot in the head. Raymonea Bishop, 23, Larry Edward Teague, 44, and Charmel Teague, 45, have been charged with first-degree premeditated murder. That's the two couple and their son. Isn't that nice? Really? Yeah. And
the family that slays together stays together.
Oh, nice. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. The son is her son. He's the stepfather, I guess.
Jesus.
So Mr. Moonerland was doing his job. He was trying to get, I guess, asking them to wear masks. He got in a verbal altercation, which is the policy of the store.
Yeah.
He got in a verbal altercation with Charmel Teague after telling Teague's daughter. Oh, her daughter was there too, I guess. Okay.
Jesus.
That she needed a mask. I guess
well, by the
mom
way,
felt like, you don't tell my daughter what to do.
Can maybe one member of the family go out and run errands for everybody else? Why is it a family trip right now? Should people be doing family trips right now to the store?
I don't mean to be ridiculous, but you know, do all of them have to be involved in the shooting? So now we have to put the whole family away and feed them and keep them alive? Couldn't they just have one asshole in the family, the other two try to stop the person?
Apparently not.
But no, they can't because Charmel, the mother, was so angry at this guard who was trying to explain that it's the policy of the store, it's not up to him, blah, blah, blah. She spits in his face.
Oh, God. What a childish move.
I know. And the guy should have punched her out. I mean, that's spitting in someone's face is one of those things. It's almost a reflex. And he actually has the self-discipline to not lose his mind.
I've got a great spitting in the face story, too, that was in the news after this.
So the daughter leaves the store. The woman's continuing to yell at the security guard, who then told her to leave the store and told the cashier, do not serve these people.
Yeah. Good.
So then footage all shows immediately after the altercation. They left. 20 minutes later, the SUV returns, and two men, identified as the father and the woman's son, Larry Teague, entered the store.
So she went home and got him.
Oh.
She had, wow.
Oh.
So she couldn't calm down?
I guess they weren't in the, you're right.
Not only could she not calm down, the husband and son couldn't say, no, just relax, it's a. So what? You already spit on him.
This
you're a loser. Stay home.
Beyond belief. I mean, this story is so stupid. So, yeah, the two guys return. I was thinking they were all there and witnessed it and got mad. But no, that's not what happened. She threw a shit fit, spit in this guy's face. I'm sure she told him to. Yeah, I had to spit in his face. I was so mad.
Yeah.
I'm sure she didn't quite tell the story that way. Not that any telling of the story would merit this. So one of them yelled at Merlin about the father yelled at him about disrespecting his wife.
She spit on him. He was doing what the policy. Oh, what idiots.
The son then allegedly shot the security guard. Shot him. Killed him.
Yeah.
Sharmell Teague is in custody also and waiting arraignment. Bishop faces charges of felony firearm and carried a concealed weapon. Larry Teague also faces two felony firearm related charges. One a felon in possession of a firearm. Surprise! Yeah. Oh, what a surprise that he would be a felon. And have a fire.
Are they at large right now still, or did they catch these?
I thought they said all three were arrested.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
Three family members charged.
Ryan posted on Facebook, I think what I would do too, if my wife came back and told me the guard yelled at her, I would go back to the store, sit in the parking lot for 5 minutes, come home, and tell her I kicked his ass. But the problem is that she went back with them.
This is just so bad, so stupid. So moronic. Oh,
here's the story. Just read this as it's written. So this girl basically, this happened in Philadelphia, spit on two people working at a store. She was a customer.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's telling her side of the story to clear some issues up, to which I think she's just digging a bigger hole for herself. She sounds like the worst whiny bitch. And she does something that will drive you nuts too.
Okay.
Just read it as it's highlighted.
During the last full week of April, police asked the public to help identify a woman who allegedly spat on two people inside of DeBruno Brothers in Rittenhouse Square the prior weekend. Police quickly arrested the 27-year-old Jacqueline McBride. Her mugshot went viral. Is she hot?
Oh, yeah.
Is that why it went? Can I see her?
Yeah, I'll look her up.
Wow. So, nice of a hot chick to be spitting on people.
Yeah, I think
she'd be happy enough about being so hot that she can post selfies all day, but no. It's embarrassing, said McBride.
There's her mugshot up right here.
Oh, yeah, she's pretty.
Mm-hmm. Oh. See if you can find her Instagram. There's a reason why coming up.
Okay.
It's embarrassing, and I don't think it's the least bit funny. People have been making jokes about me online.
Yeah, because you're a bitch.
But it's not funny. People don't know what's going on in my personal life, and they just jump to conclusions, making me out like I'm some kind of monster. This is so typical that someone would actually think there is sympathy for her. Because, I mean, this is why I think we are so mentally ill in this country. There are so many mentally ill people. She really thinks, okay, first of all, the people who are going after her online.
Yeah.
Really? Really? You don't have anything else to do?
I think people are laughing at her because what an absolute bitch. Just spit on two people. And if you're
the fact that it's now, you know, well, I have a direct line to this idiot. And you can pile on. I mean,
I think she kind of deserves it, though. She did
spit on two
people.
No, I agree. And that's why, you know, in terms of the United States of assholes, which we've become, we have so many assholes in this country. When the United States of assholes, when a big pile of us is an asshole to someone I don't like, it's always kind of fun and funny.
Sure.
But it just. I don't know where did we what happened to our manners? I mean, this woman is going to be dealt with.
America, really? What did you do?
McBride is originally from the Poconos area. She took a 6-month lease on a Rittenhouse Square apartment in Philly last year and worked as a server and bartender until the coronavirus shut everything down. Colonel McBride thinks spiraled down.
Once again, by the way, not unique to her situation.
No. She claims somebody stole a bunch of her belongings in late March, and then she says somebody stole her phone. So by the time she walked into DeBruno Brothers in late April.
Which, by the way, she just has so much bad stuff going on in her personal life, she's still going to DeBruno Brothers. So she's still able to get out and about and do stuff.
And I'm sure that the DeBruno Brothers people are all following her story on social media, so they know what's going on.
Yes.
Things were really bad in my life, McBride says. She doesn't deny spitting on
her. I don't know about you, sweetheart.
We asked McBride about her legal representation. She said she's hoping that a good criminal defense attorney will come to her aid. The public defenders don't care about you.
Yeah, they're shitting on public defenders when you need one, Miss McBride.
In the first incident, she explained she was trying to figure out how to pay for an item at DeBruno Brothers. According to McBride, a DeBruno Brothers employee gave her attitude after she asked if she could use PayPal.
What a bitch.
So, she admits she spat on him. In the second spitting incident, McBride says the woman she spat on really didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, nice.
I was just pissed off that day. She probably did nothing wrong. I can be a little bitch sometimes, and I was acting a little bitch that day.
Well, she's self-aware.
But remember,
she spit on another person who did nothing, nothing to her.
I've been in scary situations with no phone and nothing to eat. But I'm not trying to act like some huge victim here.
Oh, really? Really? After that statement?
I'll take the blame for my actions. But you have to know that I was acting out of character. So she admits she did what she did was wrong. But she says the way people responded to her actions is also wrong. People are treating me as if I'm some kind of crumb. Crumb?
No, I'd say,
you're confusing a crumb for a piece of shit.
Bitch, cunt, whore.
Like I'm some kind of lunatic scumbag, but I'm not. I've been depressed lately, like a lot of people are.
Oh, okay. So, but you're the only one spitting on people, so what's wrong with that picture, honey?
And I've been in
kind of insane.
A desperate situation. Normally, people love me. One place where Chris
wacko, psycho, cray-cray.
She thinks people like her. I don't know if people definitively like her.
One place where critics have been targeting McBride was on one of her social,
me?
Social media pages.
Oh, what?
There she posted lots of Kardashian-style glamour selfies and shots of herself in bed wearing very little.
Yeah.
Lots of hate-filled comments showed up. Again, you know, I wonder how
Can
many
they see
people
how hot I am?
Read the story and went, I wonder if she's on Instagram. And just couldn't resist making some horrible comment to her. I mean, is that
reporting me, bro?
Is that a sign of mental illness? Should we really?
I have no skills.
Shouldn't she be entitled to take her medicine without being slammed on?
She's on meds.
I bring nothing to the table.
I wish those meds gave her some kind of dry mouth too, so she stopped spitting on people.
Show me one 27-year-old girl who looks like me.
Ooh,
who doesn't post photos of themselves like that.
Plenty. Plenty.
But isn't that funny that so many people do, that she really thinks that this is perfectly normal to constantly be posting your pictures of yourself scantily clad on a regular basis? Isn't that kind of funny?
It's really sad, too, that Brandon can't find these pictures as I see him wildly searching for them.
Why can't he find them?
Scantily clad ones.
Are you looking at them?
No, no.
Why not?
Well, because I'm having more fun watching Brandon search for him. He's better at finding scantily clad photos online.
I think maybe some of her social media has been pulled down, though, right?
I would think so, based on the reaction.
Show me one 27-year-old girl who looks like me who doesn't post photos of themselves like that. I'm not a bad-looking woman. I don't see why.
I have nothing without my following.
Why there are all these people talking about a young red-headed girl in Rittenhouse Square? All these 40-year-old women coming after me.
Oh, boy.
Karens.
Oh, this poor girl when she turns 40.
I like her hair. I wonder if the carpet matches her pubes.
What happens to these girls who post endless selfies and have all these guys going, oh, you're gorgeous, when it's not really happening anymore?
We haven't reached that
point. We're getting there. Yeah. We're probably getting there.
She's a fire crotch.
Maybe this will encourage her to keep, you know, staying hot, hotter longer. She's got a following to entertain.
Oh, God.
Why do people spit on people?
I don't know. You know, she's, well, here's two pictures of her. She's cute.
Yeah, no, she's.
I mean, it's just the
most
ridiculous.
Show me another 27-year-old that looks like that, that isn't posting scantily clad pictures of herself online.
I have to say, there's a lot of 27-year-old girls who look like her that do. Not everyone, but
selfie.
Anyway.
Lance Roberts wants to know if she can join the 27 Club now and die.
I'm telling you, the whole Facebook crowd has gotten so smart-ass.
They're fantastic.
Yeah, great if you're not the victim.
And Kathy Taylor wants to know, Brandon, if you got outside today. If you went
I
for
did not
run.
Get outside today, no.
No? Uh-oh.
I had to, Kristen was really busy, so I had to spend a lot of time with Madeline today. It was a lot of
fun.
That's
the worst, isn't it?
Wow, good thing you can work around Kristen's schedule.
Well, she's got very important meetings right now. She's a very important person.
Why don't you just put her in front of Zoom? I entertained her for a while.
Well, she's just...
Sit there and make faces at her.
Everybody be like, shut that baby up.
No, I meant before the show.
Oh, she was down here.
Yeah. I want to mention that the Hall Financial Hotline will be open up shortly because Bruce Wolf, our friend from Chicago, otherwise known as Chet Chit Chat, Bruce was in The Last Days of Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. How about that? He's just holding a microphone.
If you blink, you're going to miss it. But yeah, still.
Probably. But it still was kind of cool. Just an excuse to call him and get a Chicago report.
I have no idea what scene he was even in.
I don't either. I saw the picture, but. So we'll open the Hall Financial Hotline, and you might want to think about getting a line on Hall Financial as well. Maybe you want to go to David Hall, DavidHallMortgage.com slash Drew and Mike. DavidHallMortgage.com/Drew and Mike as people are saving plenty of money. Over $300, the guy we heard from last week. Over $300 a month he's saving. I think he went from 3.75 to 3.5. And there are people around 4%. Why would you not want to save money? Especially now, people are kind of watching their pennies. So it's always a great time to call. And if you haven't refinanced in the last year, David Hall thinks it's probably worth the call. There's a chance that you could save money again. Mm-hmm. So why not? Call 248-308-5000. You can go to our webpage, click the link, fill out the online form, and they'll get back to you. Just click on the logo. Hall Financial, lower payments, better options, more personal attention. They're an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1467435.
Hey, this right here is some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network. And shit,
I haven't heard that sound in a long time.
I know. This is not only is this breaking news, it's kind of a show meeting, but there is a boner line today, and Manscaped is back on for May and June.
What?
Yeah,
Manscaped is back?
Yep.
Well, that's exciting.
Manscaped might have heard the boner line before they decided to come back, because there's a little praise for them in there, so all right.
Yep, so... Thank you, everybody, for trimming your pubes.
And Brandon, thanks for juggling your busy schedule to actually get that done.
Kidding.
We're supposed to get three a week done, and it seems we get about one every couple weeks or so. So we're a little behind with Manscaped. But
it's up till 3 a.m. putting this damn thing together.
Dude. What? What time did you start? 2:30?
I worked like 16 hours yesterday.
What were you doing from 8:30 when we're done with the show till 2:30 when you started the Manscaped boner line?
Well, audio, because I've been trying to keep up with a lot of audio that's coming in. It's not as easy to do it from my location than it is the studio, which I really, really miss. But I wanted to get stuff, you know, from Alex Jones, because I really enjoyed his eating diatribe, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I will eat you.
And I found a really funny song. I don't know. Maybe somebody sent it to me, but I love how the internet takes these moments, and then they turn them into shit like this.
I'm somebody that thought I could fix this, and I'm starting to think about having to eat my neighbor. I'm gonna haul him up by a chain. I'll eat your ass.
Gross.
You think I like sizing up my neighbor? Cut him, skin him, chop his ass up. My children are going hungry. I will eat your ass. I'll eat your ass. I'm literally looking at my neighbors now going, I will eat your ass. My superpower is being honest. I will eat your ass.
I didn't even know that existed.
Look at all the talent out there.
It's great. Well, I'm glad you're up till 3 pulling that song.
It wasn't just that. You'll see there's a good boner line coming up whenever we decide to bury that one. And then we'll also... here's some other audio that I threw in there too. Tons of it.
Well, we're getting very close to Bruce Wolf time, so if you can take care of that, I'm going to go outside and check the forecast and do a little show.
Are you globbing up?
I may be globbing up.
All right. Wow. Globbing up.
Check Twitter poll. Do you prefer Drew globbed up or not globbed up?
Just a Brandon, if you can pull it off, because you have that computer, I think you can do Facebook Live poll if you want. Do you know how to do that?
No.
All right. Never mind. Strike that from the record, Your Honor. Never mind. But I do need to tell you about Zot Auto. We're happy to announce they're all open. All the dealerships, Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep.
I'll barbecue your ass.
Zot Dodge Ram and Zot Toyota can once again help you purchase a new or pre-loved vehicle. Where they're working within the governor's orders, all showrooms must remain closed. However, our buddies up at Zot Automotive and Deals in the D, wheelsofmotion.com. We'll be taking care of our listeners over the phone and online. And the best part is, once you pick your new wheels, Zot will deliver right to your home or your essential business, pretty much wherever you are.
I will eat you.
All this will be done with the intense focus on keeping you and their sales and service team safe with social distancing and complete vehicle disinfecting. Plus, as we've mentioned many times before, all four Zot dealership parts, service, and body shops are open and offering full valet pickup and delivery service. In a time where not all the dealerships are open, please take advantage of Zot's sales and service departments, as well as free and safe pickup and delivery from all of our friends at Zot Automotive and deals in the D.com. And as we said before,
I'll barbecue your ass.
Lots of really, really good deals to be had. You know, a lot of deferred type payments. Don't take my word for it. Once again, this is just a podcast. Just call Zot.
That's just a tactic, folks.
Or go to dealsinthed.com. And if you're a man facing divorce, you may need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. With Adam, you can get divorced without losing your house or your kids. And during the pandemic, Adam is offering
totally insane
a really nice discount to healthcare workers, 10% off, because they know the men working on the front lines, well, sometimes they need to get divorced too. So call Adam.
You, I heard you were cheating on me.
Yep, yep. Go get a divorce like Alex Jones did. Call Adam, 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM for Adam.
I'm ready.
And that reminds me that Dr. Phil, which is a love-hate relationship. I can't stand Dr. Phil, but sometimes that show is very amusing, and he's had some really good shows lately. And the one today might be one we have to review because it's Quarantined with My Ex. This couple had gotten divorced at finalized, which, by the way, what, they could be separated before the divorce is finalized, but it got finalized at the end of March, and they've been quarantined together, and boy, do they hate each other.
Oh, yeah.
Only Dr. Phil can fix them.
Dr. Phil's had some great shows, by the way. I've been getting into Dr. Phil lately. It's funny, if you stay away from Dr. Phil for a while, it's really fun to watch when he has a stupid show on. He had this woman on who thought she was going to bust her husband for being a narcissistic sociopath, and then they showed clips of, they put cameras in the house, and of course, she's the biggest bitch. Oh, my God. She's screaming constantly. And so it kind of boomeranged on her, which makes a good Dr. Phil.
Turn off the water.
The Hall Financial Hotline activated for the likes of Chicago's Bruce Wolf. From WLUP, WIND, I think most recently. Is it IND, Bruce?
Bruce?
Uh-oh.
Mr. Bruce Wolf?
Where is he? There he is.
Is Bruce Wolf there?
You're there!
Bruce, can you hear him?
Can you hear me?
There you are.
Hello, right. Watson, are you there?
Yes. Are you on WIND recently? Is that the one? Or LS?
They call it AM 560 The Answer now. I still call it WIND because, you know, I'm permanently ensconced in the 1960s. So, yeah.
I remember...
It is. Technically,
wait, you know what, Bruce? I called the Dave Baum show after a Bulls game when I was a kid.
Oh, my God. You know, Dave Baum. Here, I'll give you the last time I saw Dave Baum was at Eddie Schwartz's funeral. Do you remember Eddie Schwartz at all?
Yes,
who's that dude?
Okay, so I'm at Eddie Schwartz's funeral, and Dave Baum, who kind of like organized it and everything, looks at me and says, "What's Bruce Wolf doing here?" And I wondered why I was there, too. So that's the last time I saw Dave Baum strident, even at a solemn occasion like a funeral.
Now, I remember Eddie Schwartz because Eddie was on WGN for a long time on overnights, right?
Right, right.
And he
made the fatal mistake. He made the fatal mistake of being seduced by Jimmy DeCastro and Larry Wirt to come over to Loop.
Right.
I think at WGN, I have heard my sources, and, you know, since Eddie's no longer with us, as we say, Olive Shalom, since he's no longer with us, I think if WGN had given him one more nickel, he would have stayed. But they showed him no respect whatsoever, so he comes over to the Loop. I'm sorry.
No, it was just a drop.
I know. You know what? I'm really out of practice.
I know.
I can't react to anything. What the hell was that?
We have a lot of drops.
That's fine. Surely,
Bruce,
the phone.
You didn't proceed drops on the radio. You guys played drops, didn't you?
Oh, all the time.
Oh, yeah, of course.
All the time.
So, but Ed, he was the worst. He was horrible. He was, you couldn't even understand him. And Steve and Gary made so much.
I'm hanging up right now. Eddie Schwartz is a legend. Here's the story. Kevin Matthews did an impersonation of Eddie Schwartz.
That's right.
Okay. It'll go something like, "You are vicious. We've got Rosemarie on the phone for the next 3 hours." You know, so. And that's kind of my Kevin Matthews impersonation of Eddie Schwartz. Well, one time I used to do, and Steve and Gary, as you mentioned, you know, they were so wicked to him.
Oh, brutal.
One time I used to do the sports for Steve and Gary from Channel 32. I had the microphone there. So I get a phone call, and the caller, he goes, "Hey, Bruce, hello, how are you?" And I go, "Oh, Kevin, I mean, you're killing me." And it took me about a minute or so before I realized it was actually Eddie.
Oh, wow.
And he was upset that I was playing along with Steve and Gary to, you know, and ripping him. So then about like a week later.
Wait, what made him think he had a friend in the show?
You know, because I'm a Jew, I guess. I don't know. You know, so, whatever. So you know, he figured I'd be vulnerable, you know, and I won. So Steve and Gary are making fun of him. They're in the studio, you know, in the Hancock, and I'm at Channel 32. And Steve's going to town, and, you know, I'm just at Channel 32, but I'm kind of quiet. So Steve stops the bit, like, 45 seconds into it, because Steve was, you know, pretty smart, and he goes, all right, Bruce, what the hell's wrong? You know, and I go, "Yazoo, Master Dom, I love what you do. You're so funny." You know, no, so I couldn't make fun of Eddie anymore. So that was the problem.
Well, when he came to the Loop, which I thought was when they hired, I thought that's got to be a joke. They couldn't have really hired Ed Schwartz. They've made fun of him for a decade. And then I listened to him overnight. So I was like, "Well, I guess I have to listen to this guy now." And it was so awful. It was so bad. It was like small market radio when I'm driving through small towns. I love small market radio if it's local. And it was like listening to a really bad small market radio show. And it was.
I mean, you know, he just wasn't a fit for that. And, you know, people think that they're portable, that they can go from one station to the next. That's not necessarily the case. You know, in the middle of the night, to listen to him talking to Bill Cosby, he talked to Bill Cosby a lot. God knows what Bill Cosby was doing while he was talking to Ed Schwartz. "Excuse me, Eddie, I've got to slip something into Joey Heatherton's drink right now." No, so, I mean, who knows Bruce, Bill Cosby was doing.
Waiting for somebody to wake up probably from their GHB or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, the listeners were asleep at that time, and so were, you know, Bill Cosby.
I want to just clarify something. I'm not sure if I built this in my mind or if Steve and Gary told me this, but Ed Schwartz, was he maybe a little overweight?
Well, the reason Steve made fun of Eddie, because I think Steve looked at Eddie and said, "There, but for the grace of God, go I." And, and you know, Eddie was like 400 pounds or whatever.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
I mean,
big.
He was really big, and you know, and so it was sad. And he lived to be, you know, the joke about it is, of course, we all live to be on the microphone and everything. I mean, I'm pretending like, you know, I even put makeup on in case this was going to be on Zoom. So, you know, we're all Eddie Schwartz at some
point.
Well, but yeah.
So, in other words, Steve, because Eddie was. Steve was overweight. He always was. Although it seems like he's thinner now. Maybe. Is he?
Yeah. Okay. He is.
Well, so Eddie, in other words, that was the guy who was really overweight that he could really make fun of without feeling like, well, I'm a fat fuck too.
Yeah. The worst thing, exactly. The worst thing was, so Eddie comes over to the Loop. All right. And then Steve and Gary went to the mornings. And one of the worst, most cruel, but hysterical things that they did was, and I was on that show the morning when they were on the morning. On the Loop.
So they followed Eddie.
Well, yeah, I guess I don't. You know, he might have been on AM 1000, and he was on the Loop. I don't know. All the history kind of blurs. But they were on, and one time they had somebody go into Eddie's office and steal all of his prescription medication and read the medication on the air.
What?
So, you know, I mean, this was comedy.
Oh, my God. That's brutal.
Like, I mean, I laughed at it at the time. Now I realize I'm going to hell for being a part of it. So,
I hate to ask, but how many prescriptions were there and what may he have been using?
You know, I'm trying to read. It is at least 25 years old, this information. And, you know, I've got to believe that, you know, probably stuff that Bill Cosby gave him. You know,
we're not breaching any confidences, though. I mean, the HIPAA laws have already been broken, and he's not with
us. Well, he's dead. So, you know, it was disclosed on the air. So I'm sure it'll be on a Best of Steve podcast.
Okay. So, Bruce, you turned up in the final or the last day, the last dance, the Michael Jordan 10-part special. And I was excited because I'm like, hey, that's Bruce Wolf. I'm almost sure that's Bruce Wolf. And it was one of those silly things. It's like, wait, they've got done a 10-part thing. And I'm most excited at the brief glimpse of Bruce because I feel like I know Bruce and I listened to you for a long time.
Me and you both being excited about that. So here's the beauty of it, you know, because I can now be a snot nose about it. I didn't even see it. All right. So it's like, oh, really? Oh, because... So I'm watching something with my wife that I get a tweet from my daughter, one of my daughters, the next morning. Well, you got your cameo, and she has the screenshot of it. And I thought, well, isn't this great? My daughter is thrilled that I was on this. But then it turns out she told me somebody sent it to her husband. She wasn't even watching either. And I, quite frankly, I don't have any recollection of that moment. It's a shot of me. As Jordan is walking by in 1993, I think it was, in the finals, and he's walking by, and there's what we used to call a media gangbang. I don't think you can use that term anymore. but he's walking by, and I swear I was Photoshopped into that, because I have no recollection of being there. So the only thing I remember about they played Phoenix that year, and the only thing I remember from that year was that on Channel 32's budget, because I was working for a TV station as well, the cameraman and I, on an off night, went to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Phoenix. And on the company, we each had New York strip steaks with Parmesan crust and hot fudge sundaes after it. And we rolled out of the place. And it's like the best meal I ever had was at Phoenix Ruth's Chris Steak in 93. Jordan? I don't remember. So, But if you look at the screenshot, you can see that I've got an alligator arm. I'm not really trying to interview him. It's like, oh my God, he's here. I don't want to ask him a question.
Yeah, it looks a little awkward.
Well, my whole career was based on being the passive aggressive sportscaster. I never tried to talk to these guys. I sat in my ivory tower and took pot shots at them. Now all of a sudden, the greatest of all time is walking by me, and what am I going to ask him? I have no idea. So
yeah, I was trying to imagine this because Jordan, you know, I'm watching this thing, this 10-part thing, which tells you alone how huge he is, and they're going back and forth and back and forth. It's like, I know everything in this documentary because I loved the Bulls. I loved Jordan. I loved him as a player, at least. And pretty much generally I liked him. And he was just this monster. He is the greatest of all, in my mind, he's like the greatest of all time in any sport. And
I don't know about that. He's not even my favorite Chicago athlete, Bobby Hull is, for three reasons.
The Golden Jet.
He's my favorite for three reasons.
He's white.
Well, that's the fourth reason, and that goes without saying. The first reason. So where's the drop in? Where are the white women at? I mean, come on, guys. So anyway, so he goes. That was the favorite, Brandmeier. There we go. All right. So he goes. No, Bobby. I love Bobby because A, he was anti-Semitic. B, he's a wife beater, and C, he was drunk. So no. But what I love about Bobby is, in spite of all that, he's my favorite of all time because I saw Bobby Hull with my dad. Now I'm getting serious, and you're laughing at me. Bobby's my favorite. But Jordan is. You know what's great about Jordan too? is that he had the best Hall of Fame speech in the history of Hall of Fame speeches, because most of the people just rattle off a list of names of, and they're grateful and all that. Jordan turned it into a roast because Jordan has this chip on his shoulder. So nobody believed in him. His high school coach didn't believe in him. Dean Smith didn't believe in him. Jerry Krause certainly didn't believe in him. Everybody is somebody he had to prove something to. So the whole thing was ripping everybody that didn't believe it. As a matter of fact, he even complained about the price of the tickets for the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. So, I mean, this guy's a total ass. But that's what it takes, right?
Well, he certainly was determined to beat anyone at anything he could think of to beat them in. I mean, that's what's amazing watching this thing is, wow, he really, I mean, he's like throwing quarters against the wall trying to beat, what's that, the security guy at United Center?
Oh, well, you know, there's a story, and this, you know, because I'm trying to localize it for you, even though I know
you're doing
Universal podcast. Here's the thing. There's a story I read in Sports Illustrated once. He goes to play golf with Chuck Daly, okay? And Chuck Daly beats him. And the next morning, I mean, like 6 o'clock in the morning, Chuck Daly hears a knock on his door. It's Jordan. Come on, let's play. So he had to play. Jim McMahon, apparently, a few weeks ago, he was on The Score here in Chicago.
McMahon was
being interviewed, and he said he played golf with Jordan once, and he led after 9 holes, and Jordan has to bet on everything, right?
Yeah.
So McMahon was leading, and so Jordan says, okay, we're playing the back 9. How about $1 million a hole or something like that? So McMahon was out, you know.
$1 million a hole. Oh,
imagine
my God.
Being tougher than Jim McMahon. I mean, that guy only, you know, lacerated his kidneys for the Chicago Bears, so.
You know, I remember on the Last Dance, Jordan talking about, you know, when who's interviewing Ahmad Rashad about, do you have a gambling problem? It's during the Knicks series. In
he's got
90.
His glasses on, his dark glasses. Yeah.
Got the sunglasses on. It looks pretty suspicious. And he's like, I'd be selling you my watch right now. I'd be selling you my ring, my championship rings. I wouldn't have any of this stuff. I wouldn't have any money. I wouldn't be able to eat.
And deny.
Well, $1 million a hole to him is, you know, that's like $100 a hole to us.
I guess. Now, let's, you know, my whole existence, my raison d'etre, as we say in sports casting, was to ridicule everybody. So, I mean, I don't know if this is an apocryphal story. There's two big malapropisms that I know that Michael Jordan had. One was that when they were in Paris, I believe he said that they were going to visit the art museum, which he called the luge. Okay. So, all right. Which I believe Mona Lisa in that museum is like going right down a, you know, an embankment, you know, in a luge. But the other thing I never heard him say, but people have told me, is that instead of kudos, he would say cujos. No, I don't know.
It's so ridiculous. So, well, he couldn't pronounce when he says his own name so much. It seems like it says Micah Jordan, Micah. Like M-I-C-A-H. That's how I hear
right.
it.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, he was so tired of saying it. So I don't blame him.
He got lazy.
The other...
I once saw him. I lived not too far from him when he first
well,
was around.
Hey, oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a moment where he passed all the trust. So I saw him once. He had apparently rear-ended somebody coming out onto Lake Cook Road in Highland Park in Deerfield, and he had gotten out of his car to make amends. There was this, and I don't know if this is apocryphal. I think he had a bunch of basketballs in his car to autograph or cop when he would dip.
Oh, well, brilliant!
When you took the Edens home, I used to be on Channel 32 at night, so we'd get the newscast done, and they would kind of coincide with, you know, the end of the Bulls games.
Yeah.
And so I'd be driving home, and all of it, and you'd see a few cars going like 90, 100 on the Edens, and you knew they were Bulls players going back up north.
Of course.
And the Bulls had, you know, because the Bulls trained. I used to live like right next to one of the Bulls training areas, and you do you actually go into the. Oh yeah.
Bruce lives. Did you ever? I was just had to ask because you mentioned Highland Park. Didn't Mr. T live in Highland Park?
Around? He lived in Lake Forest.
Okay.
And he, you know, there's a big difference. Not really.
Hoity-toity.
North Shore, but he lived in Lake Forest, and he cut down his trees and, against the objections of the denizens of Lake Forest, who were not too happy that a black man was there in the first place.
I believe he cut down quite a few trees, wasn't it? Didn't he do it himself?
Cool.
I don't remember. He may have had Sylvester Stallone come over to help him. I'm not really sure.
Maybe it's just such a visual. I think I just thought I wanted it to be him, so I just decided it was him. But I could picture him out there just going crazy, and I just, you know, it seemed like people in that town would be worse if it was him doing it rather than some, you know, right. some crew of people from Mexico.
No, yeah, that's true, though. He did cut down the tree. That's a true story.
I have to go back to Bobby Hull because I met Bobby Hull. he was my idol big time. I love Bobby Hull. You know, the Golden Jet, the great nickname. The slap shot was incredible. The 50 goals, when 50 goals is a huge deal.
Yeah, right.
Bobby.
That alabaster skin.
Did you guys ever see the Sports Illustrated piece on him? It was unbelievable. Where he's baling hay in his farm in Canada. Oh my God! The pearls are glistening, and he still has the shock of like blonde hair at that point. Yeah. And oh my goodness! Go ahead.
Anyway, they had an amateur hockey team. God, were they in Troy? Where the hell were they? They were in somewhere around here. I want to say Troy, in that area, Troy, Michigan. And I think they had built this little mini arena, and they were announcing the opening of the arena and the start of this team, which was in some minor league. And for some reason, I guess because he's available and if you pay him, he'll show up, they hired Bobby Hull to be at the announcement, you know, to sign autographs and stuff and just be Bobby Hull. So someone called me knowing I had a weakness for Bobby Hull and said, hey, would you come out and introduce Bobby Hull at this thing? And I was like, well, you mean I get to meet Bobby Hull? And I was really excited, thinking, I can get a picture with Bobby Hull. How cool.
Oh, no.
I'll do that. So I go out there. I introduce him. It's great. He talks. He's, you know, he's a real fired up guy. And then afterwards, there's a little kind of a early happy hour, I guess you'd say. They had wine and beer. Yeah, exactly.
Uh-oh.
And
uh-oh.
Bobby is holding court for, you know, 10 to 20 people at all times. Everyone is hanging on every word Bobby says. And he had a couple guys with him who were kind of like nudging, like, we really got to get going, Bobby. And Bobby's like, oh, hold on. No. And the last thing that Bobby said before the minders just absolutely steered him out of there was, who was the last great all-white offense in the NFL?
Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And I remember the answer. I think it was the 62 Packers.
There we go. Oh, yeah, right.
Because they had Jim Taylor and who's the other back?
Well, you mean the backfield or the...
No, I think it was an all-white offense, or maybe it was an all-white...
All-white offense? Well, you're looking at your Paul Hornung, your Jim Taylor.
Carol Dale.
Your Fuzzy Thurston, your Jerry Kramer. You know, right, sure.
Max McGee was white, wasn't he?
Max McGee was white, and Bobby would have liked him because Max McGee was, of course, drunk out of his mind the night before the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Yeah. I interviewed Max McGee at a Super Bowl when the Packers got back in within the Brett Favre era. So that was kind of fun.
Wow, that's very cool.
But
was Max still?
Yeah, I'll match you stride for stride for some of these celebrities.
Oh, you'll more than match me stride for stride. So are you telling me that is Max McGee still drinking?
I think if he is, it's in heaven right now.
Okay. At the time you interviewed him, was he still imbibing?
No, I think he was fine. I mean, he was a big. I always imagine these athletes from the 50s and 60s being like midgets. But they weren't. No, they were big. They were big. Max McGee towered over me. So, I always have a lot of respect for anybody who towers over me. And they all did.
Bruce, did you ever have an interview where it was just I'm sure probably more than one, but just a major disappointment because you really liked this person and then going into the interview and then you talked to him and you were just totally not devastated, but really let down?
Well, first of all, I didn't do that many interviews. I managed to have a long career where I avoided people a lot. But I did still
want to. You talked to Ronnie Woo Woo, though.
Ronnie Woo Woo was the greatest. He was the greatest. When I introduced Ronnie Woo Woo to the news anchor Nancy Liu, when I went Ronnie Woo, Nancy Liu, Nancy Liu, Ronnie Woo, my Uma Oprah homage to David Letterman. But I, You know, George Carlin was a disappointment.
Oh, wow.
I interviewed him. You know, I thought I'd do, you know, some fun stuff with him. And he was like, oh, man, you know, no, I write everything down. And are you kidding me?
Wow, really?
And then remember that guy? He was on that improv show, black guy Wayne Brady.
Yeah, sure.
So he does all this improv. So I'm, you know, talking to him, and I go, hey, you know, we'll do some improv. He says, oh, no, man, we got to have setups. And what are you talking? I thought he was joking around with me. So he was a disappointment. But mainly there. Sybil Shepherd. She wasn't a disappointment. Well, she was a disappointment because she looked like a linebacker.
I know.
She was so much bigger than I've been. I remember lusting for her in Charles Grodin
movie. The Last Picture Show?
Yeah. But also...
wasn't there some breast? Didn't we get to see some breast in that movie?
In Taxi, she was hot in Taxi Driver.
We may have. The Heartbreak Kid with Charles Grodin.
Oh, yeah,
Charles Grodin dumps his, you know, obnoxious Jewish wife for a Sybil Shepherd, you know, the shiksa that, you know, everybody dreams of. And so, but by this time when I interviewed her, which was like 15, 20 years ago, I'm interviewing her and I'm walking along with her and I just start trying to joke around with her. And she played along a little bit, but basically she put her arm around me and was like, hey, little fellow, what the hell do you think you're doing? And, you know, she looked like she could have been part of that Packer defense in 62.
Well, she's white.
She was so hot back in the day. Oh, my God. Yeah. Peter Bogdanovich was all over that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She wasn't Taxi Driver. She was the one that Travis Bickle lusted over, but then she got turned off by all the porn. Because then you go to the porn movies.
Oh.
Okay.
I was thinking Jodie Foster for some reason when you said.
She was 12 then, wasn't Jodie Foster?
She's in the movie.
I know, they're all such a blur to me. They all look the same. You know?
Exactly. Bruce.
Kim Basinger,
On Michael Jordan, again, when I was watching. Micah Jordan. When I was watching. Oh, can we play the Gatorade? Is it in you for Bruce?
Sure.
When we were. When I was watching that, I was thinking, God, I can't picture him like. Dealing with local media, but he did. He talked to local media, didn't he?
God, he was so accessible. Steve and I, when I was partners with Steve, actually interviewed him when he tried to become a White Sox player.
We had a
sit-down interview with him. Think about this. We're in the press box in Sarasota, Florida, and it was arranged by this producer, Cheryl Ray, who's great. He is sitting there, and we're sitting there, and I couldn't believe it. It was surreal. I'm sitting next to Michael Jordan, who's in a White Sox uniform. And I think I've been on with you guys like 50 times, I'm sure. Tell me if I told you this story already about Jordan.
I don't think so. No.
Okay. So you remember? I mean, there was a lot of people were naysayers, and they didn't think that he should be participating in baseball. He didn't have any business doing it. Well, in this inaugural appearance in an exhibition game in Sarasota, he had a swinging bunt, okay, and he was called out on a very close play at first base. After the game, everybody wants to interview him, of course, and usually, of course, me not being aggressive, I'm like in the fourth wave of people interviewing him. So he's answered all these questions a million times, and I'm standing there next to him, and there was a sports writer for Sports Illustrated named Steve Wolf, no relation, it was WULF, is how you spell his name, and he's writing down stuff, and he's there and a few other people, and I'm interviewing Jordan with some other people, and I ask him, how about that play at first base? Do you want to go over it again? And he says, yeah, and he says, you know, I thought the ref was wrong. So I look up at Steve Wolf, and Steve Wolf looks back at me and scribbling furiously. A few days later, the Sports Illustrated issue comes out with Jordan on the cover, and the cover says, "Bag it, Michael." And the story is all about how he shouldn't be a baseball player. And basically in the lead, it's what happened in that interview. That Jordan didn't even know the nomenclature of baseball. So I consider myself if not approximate cause, a catalyst of the fight that Michael Jordan had with Sports Illustrated, because he didn't talk to them for a long time, and they needed him. They needed him to be on the cover of their magazine a lot.
Sure they did.
So that was, you know, and one other Jordan story, if I may.
Absolutely.
So he had boycotted the media for a while.
And hey Bruce, can I go back a second? Sure. Your interview with Steve and Michael Jordan. Did he say anything? Because every time I see him interviewed, he doesn't say anything.
Are you kidding me? Here's what Michael Jordan says. Well, most definitely, quite naturally, to some extent, to a certain degree. Hey, he was brilliant at saying nothing. I mean, that's
he
what
was.
Athletes say.
He was.
Except when he ripped, I mean, his Hall of Fame speech, fantastic. When he opened up his restaurant, with Juanita's Macaroni, by the way, he opened up his restaurant. He let everybody in the media have a couple of minutes with him, and this is how accessible he was. And I sat in a booth with him, and I asked him, well, there was a tray there, and I said, how would you hold the tray? Do you hold it in your palm or by the fingertips? And I can't remember what his answer was, but he showed me, you know, how you hold a tray. So in Phoenix in 93, he had been boycotting the media, and he decided to end the boycott. And, you know, all the media were in this gym in Phoenix where the Bulls were practicing, but then they let the media in, and they have these different areas, different little microphone stands, podiums where the people are. So I was with a few other people by Scottie Pippen when Jordan walks in and he sits down on a car chair, and all of a sudden everybody leaves everybody else on the Bulls, including me. And I actually felt bad that I had abandoned Scottie Pippen. I was like, oh, sorry, Scottie, you know, goodbye, you know, goodbye, Tonto. I'm going over to the Lone Ranger right now. And then there was, you know, this multitude interviewing Jordan. And I was like it was either in the first or second wave. I can't remember, but I was right next to him he's sitting at a card chair with his legs spread apart, and he's holding a styrofoam cup of water. And of course, being right in front of him like that, I had to squat because there's cameras behind you and they don't want to get a shot of you. And right. I had to squat like I was Bill Freehand, cha-cha, of the great Detroit Tigers.
Said Randy Hundley, but you went for the localism here.
No, I gotta go. Hey, I wrote a song about Norm Cash once, but that's another story.
Hey, Norm, I bet Norm and Bobby Hull had a few drinks together at some point. That had to happen. Had to.
I'm sure. So I'm squatting there, and my hamstrings are killing me. I'm ready, and I'm squatting for like 10, 15 minutes, and I was teetering. And remember, his legs are spread apart. I was this close to falling right into his testicles, and I could have ended his career right then and there. So I saved Michael Jordan's life, because without that, they don't have the second three-peat. And you're not watching The Last Dance anymore. So
wow,
there you go.
Okay, Bruce, we have a. Is it in you?
Yes.
This is Michael Jordan trying to get the essence of a Gatorade commercial.
Ready?
On action.
Gatorade, is it in you? Gatorade, is it in you? Gatorade, is it in you?
That's right.
Right. No.
Gatorade.
Nope. I got here.
Is it in you?
Right. Ready? Is it in you? Ready? Gatorade, is it in you? No. Gatorade. Is it in you? Gatorade. Is it? Gatorade. Is it in you? Nope. One more time.
Try the last way you just said it, just conversational. Gatorade. Is it in you?
Yeah, right.
Ready?
I don't think so.
Gatorade. Is it in you?
No. Gatorade. No, dumbass. I mean, did you hear
Gatorade.
The guy?
Is it in you? Gatorade.
No, the guy? Oh, shut
Gatorade.
Up,
is it in you? Okay. Ready?
No.
Gatorade. Is it in you?
No. No.
Gatorade. Is it
oh,
in you?
Oh, come on.
Gatorade. Is it in you?
He's his natural once.
He said it the same way every time.
Every time.
The guy says to him, Gatorade, is it in you?
Yeah.
Is it in you? Can you imitate that, Michael?
Gatorade.
I mean, it's a layup. Okay.
And at the end there, Bruce, the lady who's recording it is just so exhausted. She goes, I think we got a couple good ones in there. Let's just,
yeah, right. They were all the same. They were the same take 5,000 times.
I always love that he says Gatorade every time, too, as if that was the problem in what he was saying. He could have just done his
well, he needed it as a warm-up. You know, he should Gatorade. Have done it with his tongue hanging out like it was hitting a free throw. Yeah. It might have been easier for him.
Okay. Oh, man. Hey, Bruce, it's great to talk to you. We got to get along, move along, get a commercial or two in, and
thank
get
you
to our
so
show,
much for having me.
It's great to talk to you. Great stuff, Bruce, as always, and we'll find another excuse to get you on soon.
Bobby Hull is the greatest ever.
Thanks, Bruce. Bruce Wolf. Start with a fire. Right, from every station in Chicago, TV or radio.
So quick.
I know he is.
Being Bruce isn't easy.
Oh, I was going through some stuff on YouTube, trying to see, you know, if there's anything we haven't seen, because I just love Chet.
Oh, Chet is so good.
I came across this one. He is anchoring. Where is he anchoring here?
Channel 32?
No. Channel 5, NBC 5? Does that sound?
He worked everywhere. He did. Probably, you know what? His Wikipedia page is hilarious because he goes through every single change in his career. And he makes fun of a lot of them because they're brief.
Yeah. So
I don't know why. He's fantastic. I mean, I loved him on The Loop. He was so funny.
So he's doing a story about, do you remember that girl in Florida who couldn't stop hiccuping?
Yes.
Had really short hiccups. So he plays that piece and it goes off.
I think someone watching might have a solution for her. 10,000 viewers email suggestions. As you heard, she tried many of them, including utensils and water glasses and sticking a piece of paper on her forehead.
Aww.
And I was, you know, it would be fun to have like a drinking game every time she hiccuped. So, but she hiccups too often. Yeah, that is a sad story.
That's pretty sad. And she said it's pretty painful.
Right,
too,
it is. I have a solution.
Try and guess where he's going to go with this, too.
And I want to tape a solution for her, and then we'll send it to her. And then if we win, you know, we'll be famous,
you
and we will have helped somebody. We will help somebody. So
oh,
are you ready?
So
but I want to tape this. We'll get this going. Ready? This is the solution for her. Ready?
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Boo! That didn't even phase you, did it?
No, I think that's been overdone.
Oh, it is?
I don't think it works.
But I thought the way I did it would be good. Mm. And I think Jan Milani, who wrote to us about being serious, would think that was a good idea. All right, let's get serious.
I just love that he had like a 30-second setup on the news just to yell boo. What a great use of time.
I think he'd be good in morning TV, honestly. I know he did morning TV for a while.
Yeah.
But he's just a little too much fun, I think.
Yeah.
He's a little too quick. They want people that are mindless.
Yep. Yep. And he probably want too much money, too. They're not paying anybody anymore.
Yeah. No, he was
maybe,
he did really well.
Chicago.
Boy, hey, lived near Jordan.
Yeah. And Mr. T. Oh, no, that was the lesser neighborhood.
Yeah. He wasn't too far from T.
Oh, man.
Where he lives now.
Good. He lives. I was looking at his Twitter, too, which, you know, he loves fighting with people on
Twitter.
Oh,
he does.
And so then. You know, I've been distracted recently by trends on Twitter. I don't know why, but it's just always so random. And it's like, okay, why is today's thing trending? Like, Kurt Loder is trending, which I guess.
Wait, Kurt Loder?
It's his birthday. So he's trending.
What?
He's
75.
No. 75.
He does not get a birthday trend. Kurt Loder?
I was kind of surprised by that, too. So
no way.
Well, that really jumped out at me.
I think they sometimes want to make people trend so you think they're dead.
And well, I think so, go, too.
Kurt Loder's birthday? Who cares?
No, I could not have clicked off of it fast enough. So Sudafed is trending, right?
Okay.
It's like, why is Sudafed trending? Well, President Trump.
Oh, no.
retweeted from 4 years ago, the best taco bowls are made in Trump Tower. Remember that big to-do?
Oh, yeah.
He's sitting there with a giant taco bowl.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
At his desk in Trump Tower, and he's giving the thumbs up because he had a taco.
Oh, Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're probably, what does this have to do with Sudafed? In the back of the picture, people have zoomed in because he's an open drawer, and the drawer is just loaded with Sudafed.
He's taking drugs.
Wait, can't you make meth with Sudafed?
Yeah, yeah. But apparently.
Is that how he's staying awake all this time?
Aaron has one of the zoomed in pictures. He's got all kinds of different sets of Sudafed. Oh my God. That's a Sudafed. That one, and that one are all Sudafed.
How about that?
Stuff, and then some people are like, what's going on with this picture down here? Do you see that picture, too?
Yeah.
It's, I don't know.
Who is it?
I have no idea. It's two, it looks like two women, one in a state of ecstasy, but it's framed.
One looks like Ivanka.
What the hell? Isn't that wild?
What's going on?
So silly.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, thank you, Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. I also saw David Muir. He's trending because he's gonna. Well, he interviewed Trump, and then
I thought maybe he benched 400.
David Muir?
Yeah, he's really into his muscles too.
Oh, I thought he was coming out of the closet. Isn't there rumors about him?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you go to his Instagram, he tries to take pictures of himself where he's pretending that he's not trying to be hot, but he is.
Mm. Like, oh, really? Like, oh, you guys just caught me being really hot.
Yes. There's a picture. One was of him looking out the window of an airplane, and he's not looking at the camera, but he had to have taken the picture. Who else is sitting with him? It's just ridiculous.
Who takes a candid shot of themselves?
Like, and he also, here. He's quite a fan of shirtless pictures.
Oh,
and
of who?
He's quite buff. Himself.
You like what you see, huh?
Like, he hasn't been doing that too frequently. Lately.
Yeah, Brandon's
his body pretty tight. Oh, he used
wait,
to.
What's that one on the right there? Who's that? That's probably a nephew or something.
What are the comments?
Who is that? Your unexpected son? Who is it? Wait, what's the caption for it, Brandon? I'm dying to know who this is now. Family and friends who are family plus acts equals 2020.
Huh?
I don't know.
Can you find a hot picture of him and see what the comments are?
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be gay dudes on there just getting off. Got to be.
Getting off. Oh, there's a candid one that he took of himself. I got a beard going.
Here's from Devin. Oh, my God, you're wicked hot.
Yeah. Where's your black T-shirt? Whatever that means.
You're a propagandist.
Good Lord.
Post some sexy photos. It's been too long. The country's sad, and it needs you to lift us up. Do it for your country, David.
This person wants him to post sexy pictures.
Oh, my God.
What's my hot caption for this picture?
I don't think this thing works in the snow. See you tomorrow.
What?
I don't know.
Because I'm so hot, I melted it all. Oh, yeah.
There got to be some good comments.
What is he going to... You think he's torn? Like he wants to post a accidental nude or something.
He wants afraid he'll get fired. See, like the bass or something, just the bass. Like, sorry, I didn't know the bass was in there. Jesus.
And then here's from Rick. Oh, damn, you're hot. I watch you every night at 5:30 Central.
Ew, weird. Lester just doesn't do it for me. All right, keep going through more pictures. Let's find a hotter picture of him. Oh, look at this dog's dick. Gross.
Well, you didn't have to focus on that.
Oh, look at him. He thinks he's so... Oh, look at that modeling picture.
Oh, God. Cut it out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is in a magazine.
Oh, God. This thinks one. He's so hot.
You are so regal here.
What?
It's like, it looks like based on people's profile pictures, either gay guys commenting about how hot he is or really old women.
I would think the gay guys would dominate.
Yeah. Oh, good for him.
There's a candid shot.
Surprise. Gay much? That's a comment on it. Gay much? What?
What? Why is someone on there and saying gay much? Why then is Instagram?
I don't know.
Are there any more comments? Because he thinks he's pretty hot there.
Damn you fine.
What was that?
Damn you fine.
Oh, God.
You're so gorgeous. Oh, wait. Can't handle this fire.
Listen to this one. I feel so bad you don't have any shirts that fit. I'm going to start a GoFundMe page just to get you some XLTs. Because he's wearing the tightest shirt.
Oh, man.
That's really interesting. So it's almost like he is out of the closet, but he's not officially out, is he? That's
no, weird. I don't think he is.
Can he not be out of the closet? I mean,
I don't know.
Is he afraid he'd have to go work at CNN if he was?
I guess so. But
isn't that weird that CNN, two of their main anchors are
yeah,
gay?
I know.
I mean, not weird. It just seems odd.
I swear to God, he used to post shirtless pictures all the time.
Yeah, and he got hammered pretty hard by John Oliver, didn't he?
Oh, is that where I saw him? Really? It probably was.
It was around the finding of this, because here's a picture of him gazing out the window.
Oh, that's the one. That's the one.
He's at Vietnam.
What are the comments? But wait. Well,
here's Chris that says, "Nothing compares to you, my love." Yes.
I mean, he didn't take that picture. He couldn't have.
Mm.
You're my favorite view of all.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God! So I replied to your tweet earlier about the internet.
Yeah,
you wrote we currently are without internet at Red Shovel Studios. Mother Bleeber, I swear to God, we would be on Facebook Live right now. So I wrote, "It's been terrible for 3 years, and at Comcast, at Xfinity, really don't care to fix it. No matter how many times we call or quote chat with them, hopefully AT&T's fiber will be here soon." Who do you think I got a response to from
AT&T?
Comcast.
Oh, really? What'd they say?
"Hi, Mark. We'd love to look in the ongoing issues with the service to find out more details. Send a DM with account info here to reach our support
team. Why don't we take up a collection for cable?"
So they're not aware of all the conversations that have taken place already?
Well, thankfully, Butters replied to that and said, "I guess you didn't read his tweet. He said no matter how many times he speaks with you."
Thank you, I just Butters. Broke the internet.
Butters.
"I'm interested in upgrading my 28.8 kilobaud internet connection to a 1.5 megabit fiber optic T1 line. Oh, will you be able to provide an IP router that's compatible with my token ring Ethernet LAN configuration?"
It's just,
we're having issues, but I think that if we just use some virus software, it'll help it.
"That computer has a virus, and I hate to tell you, but it's AIDS."
Because honestly, Brandon, you sound different, doesn't he? Because it's the connection here is just terrible today. So,
well, I also told you I'm plugged in through a board.
Oh, that's right.
Focusrite today. So,
yeah. So please stay up till 3 a.m. and switch it back to your Focusrite.
It won't take me. Hey, but speaking of 3 a.m., you want to hear a boner line that I made?
Yes, with its.
Yeah, brought to you by Manscaped.
Sponsor. Yeah.
Of course, let me find my Manscaped copy.
Manscaped.com/ It's still Drew, I believe.
And by the way, some things aren't getting to people right away, and somebody wrote me and said they didn't receive their Manscaped stuff, and 2 days later he said, "Oh, it just came in."
Yeah, I just got my Death Wish that I ordered.
How long ago did you order it?
Maybe 6 days, which I don't think right now is too bad.
No, it's not right now. I got books that ordered 3 weeks ago; they're just arriving.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
Well, they probably had to go print them first.
Let's see. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming and hygiene. You're probably spending more time with your significant other right now. If you don't keep clean down there, your partner will notice.
Manscaped, I didn't even know that existed.
Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essentials Kit. New and improved Lawnmower 3.0 waterproof. And
of course, I missed out, man.
Of course, we all remember the 2.0 and the 1.0.
Yes, so, yeah. Well, 3 is a game changer. I'm telling you. The light on it is worth it alone.
The cordless body trimmer and all the liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. The cologne.
Oh.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Drew at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code Drew. So there you go. Manscaped brings you the new boner line.
Hey, fellas, and Trudy, of course.
Hello. Drew, the Robbie Robertson interview was phenomenal.
Aww.
That's classic Drew and Mike. That's what I tune in for. That was good shit, bud. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stop it.
Drew needs to get a room with Patty P.
Come on, Patty.
I mean, every day. Patty P on this? Patty P on Facebook?
Ooh, Patty's so moist. Come on, Patty.
Hey, I'm watching that circus. Book of Circus documentary, and it's hilarious. The neighborhood's called Boys Town, obviously, and the back of the store is called Vaseline Alley.
Oh, that's right.
Alaska's awesome, and thanks for the recommendation. Love the documentary.
I'm a weirdo and kind of a pervert, I guess.
Hey, I don't know why I'm calling, because Brandon never puts me on the boner line.
I was just talking about the Michael Jordan show, The Last Dance, and all I keep thinking about is when I see Michael Jordan, Gatorade, is it in you?
Gatorade, is it in you?
Gatorade, is it in you? You?
Gatorade,
Is it in you?
Oh my God. Every time somebody says COVID-19, in my head I just go,
COVID-19.
Maybe it's just me being a simpleton, but anytime I hear, you know, we got to flatten a curve, I just think of Randy Marsh from South Park talking about the yaw.
And so, by dividing the weight and the girth of the penis by the angle or the, what do we call it again? The yaw of the shaft, what we finally get is the adjusted penis size, or TMI.
I got an audio separated at birth. I think it's LeVar Ball and Michael Jackson talking about water balloon fights.
I've never lost a water balloon fight.
I'm undefeated, never lost.
I'm the Michael Jordan of water balloon fights.
First of all, I think Trudy is hot.
Trudy.
Mm-hmm. And second of all, I think it's badass that she keeps getting fucked up off weed and tequila lately.
I'm so wasted.
I'll be fine.
I have a separated at birth. The guy who called saying that Drew's boss was Buzz and the Count David Wimp.
What?
Audio separated at birth.
Audio separated at birth?
Audio separated at birth.
Guy who called in on the boner line last time demanding to speak with the CEO of the Red Shell Network.
The guy who called the boner line and Count David Wimp.
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 I thought it was Count David Wimp talking.
I'm trying to get a hold of the CEO of the Red Shell Network. Oh, I'm getting there. Or Buzz. They don't know enough about it. If they continue to play that Nick Lachey song. Yeah, I did that. I think I'm going to have to listen to the Tiger King podcast.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Because that might be more entertaining. I don't have a computer, so I don't know.
Calling to give some props to a sponsor. I went out over the weekend into the woods and came home and found a tick underneath my arm.
Gross.
And so I got rid of that and proceeded to start looking at other areas, and fortunately I used my Manscaped trimmer, and sure enough I had a tick right on the beanbag.
Wow. These nuts.
And I never would have found it had it not been for the old landscape job that the Manscaped trimmer did. Yes. So just wanted to give a shout out to Manscaped.
That light helps.
So I want to point out there's one thing in common between all of these vehicle fires, between homeless Al, Brandon's dad, in Brandon, and it might be Brandon. Drew, can you get a forensic accountant on that?
I didn't do this stuff.
Yeah, I think you guys have this thing all wrong. It's not homeless Al who's the common denominator in all the fires. It's Brandon. Uh-oh. I think he's an arsonist.
He's accused, not charged.
I just want to point out that when homeless Al wasn't busy taking a dump out of Brandon's bedroom window or whatever, he was teaching Brandon and his dad how to commit arson and insurance fraud. So Brandon, his dad, homeless Al, they're all arsonists.
They got nothing on me past 92, tops.
New revelation. The Allington Tavern burnt down, and Brandon used to go there every weekend. The plot thickens.
He hasn't done anything wrong.
Anyways, thanks for keeping me laughing while I am teaching these little brats. Have a good one.
I wish my babies could have the same sort of teacher, the same sort of friend.
Keep it stiff. Goodbye.
Oh, man.
That's good. Thank you for staying up, Brandon.
Manscaped.com, promo code Drew. And Brent, up till 3 o'clock in the morning putting that together. Actually, it says alarm, for 2:40.
Get
that thing in.
Come on, really?
the Micah Jordan stuff reminded me. I think we talked about it off the air. The other interesting speech thing that he does, I never knew until watching the documentary because it's an expletive, is Jordan used to go, shit.
I know. He did it a bunch of times.
At least four times in the last documentary. He's sitting there going, shit.
Yeah, it's kind of when he's being sarcastic or when he's...
Like, you think Kobe's better than me? Shit, 17-year-old.
Hey, so this really goes along with something I was talking about earlier. The murder of the guard and the guy who wiped his face on that girl's blouse, the clerk, and just what... The madness.
You know, there was a spitter at Nino Savaggio's in Warren, too. That was a story that just popped up today after we
started. Was that about a mask?
Yeah. Yeah. And the person that did it, let me see if I can find it.
What is going on?
I don't know.
I swear to God, I'm just blown away that. I mean, I feel like it's that as much as we like to tell on people and to lecture people, There's a lot of the opposite of nobody tells me what to do, even when they're trying to save my life.
Yeah. I can take care of myself. It's not about that.
I feel the same. I'm not a baby. How many times have I said it?
Not a baby.
But
I'm not a baby.
What I mean is that I can take care of myself by following sensible guidelines, like wearing a mask and not being in big crowds. But apparently there's a large group of people who just feel like nobody tells me anything.
Well, if you're out there going, nobody tells me what to do, I do what I want, and you're at a protest where you're close to people and you're not wearing the mask, that's why people get worried. It's like, yeah, you might be fine, but you also might be asymptomatic. And then
my brother said,
and I was going to say one other thing. You remember how you're questioning why the numbers keep going up?
Yeah.
Here in the state? So there's a story today. God, I wish I
Think we're very well shut down, to be honest. That's my feeling.
Well, two things. Prisons. It's exploded in prison since the lockdown.
Well, take that out of the number, because I don't really give a shit about that.
Not homeless, but old folks. Why did I say homeless?
Well, if you take out the prisons and the senior living facilities in New York, what do you get?
Well, I don't know. They just added
the people that are running around, and it's a much smaller number. And I'm not trying to belittle it or say it doesn't matter, but I'm just saying the prison number, if it's that big, I don't think it's something the rest of us need. I mean, we don't want people dying in prison, but I mean,
unless you're letting them out.
Yeah, let them out without testing them like they've been doing.
New York just added, 1,700 deaths that weren't counted for because, surprise, there were old folks' homes that they just didn't tell anybody about. You've seen the stories, and once again, they're anecdotal where they have like 12 bodies piled up in a conference room. And old folks, it's like, how do you just pile up bodies in a room?
I don't know. Anyway, Ted Whitney sent something. He lives up near Flint. He said every time he goes to Rite Aid, there's someone verbally bitching and raising hell about wearing a mask. They don't leave. They make everyone uncomfortable. They end up being waited on to avoid something probably worse. Ran into it again this morning. Someone was actually coughing at the counter, no mask, and had a big attitude. You ever want a commotion thread with all the individuals that witnessed along acting in this manner would be that they all fall into the category highest virus desk risk. Risk.
Yeah. So here's the story. St. Clair Shores. Woman competed in the Roseville mayoral election in 2017 is accused of spitting on officers. Called to a grocery store. So the officers have to deal with this shit and they get spit on. She was told to leave for not wearing a mask. Took place April 26th at Nino Savaggio.
Well, what is the big deal with wearing a mask? It's a public health thing. It's not because anyone's trying to tell anyone what to do.
Just do it and think it's stupid if you don't like it. I can't believe it. Just bitch about it then. But just wear it to make everyone else happy.
You know, I was half joking about the United States of assholes, but I really feel like we're getting there. We really have. There are a lot of people who just feel like it's okay to be an asshole. And I think when you do it on your keyboard all the time, it probably is hard to separate when you're, when you're out and about and you disagree with something or you feel angry about something.
How old do you think this woman was at this Nino Savaggio's?
I saw her photo. She didn't look, I would say early 30s.
33. Well, she assaulted a store employee and refused to leave when they asked her to leave for not wearing the mask. St. Clair Shores police arrived. I assume the same ones that were at Maddie's parade, right? St. Clair Shores, wasn't that?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised they had time to do this.
I wish there was another parade.
Keeps them running.
The suspect continued to behave erratically, attacking and spitting on police officers. She was arrested. The repeated inappropriate behavior of the suspect cannot be tolerated. I thought there was more she did too as she was leaving, but
honestly, I feel like this has been going on so long.
This is the third time they've had trouble at that store with somebody asking them to wear.
Well, I took Ted at his word. I absolutely believe what he's saying.
It's ridiculous.
And I don't know that, being close to Flint has anything to do with it, because I think it's something that's going on all over the place.
Yeah.
But I haven't really seen, the only thing I really saw about masks was the governor of Ohio saying, it's just too big a bridge to cross. We can't make people wear masks.
No, but I think a business, if they want to make people wear a mask, they can make people wear a mask.
I'm just stunned, though, that you'd have someone who's the governor of one of our largest states saying, it's just too much trouble to ask people. It's just too much, because it's not too much. It's not that hard. I don't want to wear a mask. Believe me, I really don't.
Oh, my God,
don't.
No. Hell no.
I don't, but I don't.
But we're all in this together, so we do.
Well, but that's the thing. We're not all in this together. We're not at all. It's like you're on one side or the other side. I don't even know what the sides. I don't even really know what the sides are, to be honest.
I want to do what I want side, and the other side is just, I guess,
but
doing what they're told.
It was,
I don't know.
It was really, you know, reading the story about, and I saw a story about India too, and just how, you know, the people, they feel they are in this together.
A bunch of sheep.
And, you know,
well, I kind of like
the
American.
They deal with a lot of hardship in India. It's not an easy place to live for everybody. There's a lot of poverty.
I loved the American spirit of protesting if you didn't like something. I do. I really, I loved it. Until now.
I don't really have a problem with protesting.
No,
it's
but
just
I mean,
that, you know,
I just mean the American spirit of doing what we want, the independence. I loved it until coronavirus hit. Now I just find it kind of annoying.
Well, I think we were looking at the Lansing one.
Yeah.
Obviously, the picture that's being spread throughout the United States that was on the cover of all the papers was the dude that's just screaming. He's livid, and he's screaming at the police officers, or in between the two police officers in Lansing there. Now,
it does seem to be that he is screaming between them at the legislature, not at the police.
Doesn't matter, because I was like, who is this dude? And I want to see, like, where's he from in Michigan? Well,
you want to dox him?
No,
just kidding. Go ahead.
It doesn't matter. He's already been doxxed. But after looking into it, it just appears like he's some dude from L.A. who stirs up shit all the time. He's not from Michigan.
Wait, he's a protest actor? Is he a protest actor?
Now some people are saying
he's making
that.
Protesters look bad. He's hired to make protesters look bad.
There's videos of this dude threatening to burn bookstores down and calling people.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I didn't know this. Where's
so he's a fucking menace.
What an asshole.
He's not from Michigan.
Lock
he
him
is
up.
Just here to stir up shit.
Lock him up.
That's bullshit, because that represents Michigan. Everybody saw that and said, look what Michigan's doing.
Well,
and don't get me wrong, there's people there that are doing dumb shit, but the majority of them aren't.
You know, I was reading today the story about, you know, having guns in the Capitol building, which, by the way, in Washington, no, they don't allow guns in there.
When
and
Sean
government
Hannity,
buildings are not, you're not allowed to carry guns in government buildings. But for some 1931 law, somebody decided that, it's unspecific. So, and they have some Second Amendment Awareness Day or something where everyone
1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms.
Everyone has to carry their guns into the Capitol building. It's like, I mean, I think isn't there plenty of celebration of the Second Amendment? Do we have to carry guns into the Capitol building? Is that that important?
Did you see who came out against them?
Who?
Lots of guns.
Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity told the armed protesters of Michigan that the show of force is dangerous and it puts police at risk.
They want our guns!
You don't need
to
do it.
It's intimidating, and it's not about guns.
We're going to restore the Second Amendment, dirtbag.
You know, I'll have to go into the story. The comments are just unbelievable.
Oh, great.
It's like, anyway, first of all, okay, if you're really upset that you feel you're being overly restricted and you want to protest, of course you can protest, but shouldn't some of these people go to protesting 101 class where you would learn that, first of all, spelling your signs is very important. Check your spelling. Because and I'm not just making fun of people who are in Lansing. I see it all over the place. The $15, you know, fast food. Some of the, it's like, oh my God. And that's
where
all anyone.
Where do these people get the time to make these signs?
It's all anyone does. They laugh about it because somebody misspelled a sign. And then also, you know, if you are a fan of the Confederacy, that's not the place to take the Confederate flag. That is not going to help your cause.
Can you maybe just stay on message, protesters?
Yeah.
Just, all protesters, just stay to one message.
And I know a lot of people were angry again about the fact that, and it's interesting because I saw the story today, I think it's the Free Press said, there was...
Whoa, you're angry.
They said there was at least one Confederate flag. And I think they said that because a lot of people that were complaining about it were saying, there was one Confederate flag! I mean, there were all these other people that did not have a Confederate flag, but of course, the one Confederate flag, everyone gets painted with it, and Governor Whitmer, she brings it up, and also, There were Nazi signs? Were there really Nazi signs?
Weren't they calling the government... No, they were calling them fascists.
They were implying that people had Nazi regalia of some kind.
You know what? I stand corrected because just 11 minutes ago, the USA Today fact-checked all that stuff about that dude screaming, who everybody's saying is a white supremacist proud boy from California. Now they're saying... That is fake.
Oh, fake news.
Hey, will we get the USA Today tomorrow?
So they were trying to suggest he's a protest actor, and he's not.
Rob Cantrell, he lives in L.A. He's a white supremacist who's being paid to attend the protests in blue states. That's what I saw, and that's what I just relayed to you guys. This deplorable is the face of the Republican Party. Well, now it comes out that it's not that dude from L.A. It's a guy named Brian from New Hudson, Michigan. So, yeah, now there's all this information.
But who starts this foolishness that here's a crisis protest? I mean, where does this shit start? What kind of foolishness is this? And, this crisis actors, it's like, what the fuck? Are you kidding? I hear people say stuff like that, and I go, wow, you seem like somebody who's pretty sensible. Really? Really believe that? But, it's like, again, the United States of assholes. There's so many assholes who are saying this and saying that and saying this and saying that. And people who get around, they see this enough and it just sort of plants in their brain like it's real.
I love the idea, though, that Rob Cantrell, the proud boy from California, is going, that's not me. I wouldn't do that. That's a line I wouldn't cross.
Videos attached to it, too, where it was showing a guy that kind of looked similar to him. Yelling and making threats and stuff like that. And so with all that information, I took it for their word and there you go. thank God USA Today fact checked me like 6 minutes later.
The guy who was yelling in that picture has been to 4 protests in Lansing in the past month. But once again, I don't know what his take is on it because all I see is him yelling between 2 officers.
Well, I think, what a lot of people were upset about was because they were sincere. They want things opened up sooner, and the whole thing got hijacked because someone had a Confederate flag, because someone had a noose, because I think they said tyrants will hang or something. Actually, that's interesting, too, because I read that there was Nazi regalia, Nazi something, Confederate flags, and nooses. And today I saw a story that said there was a sign that said tyrants will hang or something like that. I thought, does that mean there was a noose with the sign?
Sic Semper Tyrannis. Is that what it was?
That's John Wilkie's Booth.
Yeah, Wilkie's. here's what Brian said, by the way. He said he's not concerned about the virus, quote, not at all. He doesn't believe masks protect people and won't ever wear one, quote, ever. He does not agree with the stay-at-home order because people are still going to stores, pharmacies, and gas stations anyway. I can understand the confusion, but sometimes
they're going to get food.
Yeah.
And they're going to get gas.
So he says, what's the point of staying home? He believes the virus was intentionally released by the Chinese government.
Well, it doesn't matter. You know what? This is another one. Doesn't matter how it's released. It's here.
Yeah. China!
It's real, and mutated. We have to deal with it, whether it came from a lab or it came from a bat, bat-eating market, whatever the fuck that is. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it doesn't matter. It's here, and it does kill people. And what is really grousing me today, this is making me mad.
Grousing, wow.
Yeah, was they're talking about, reopening, and reopening too fast. And we're going to have 3,000 deaths a day, which is about 1.1 million deaths in the next year. It's a lot of death.
It comes from the White House, I believe, right? Wasn't that part of the leaked assessment?
I don't think
the task force?
I think the White House is not saying that was not from the White House. Yeah. I don't know where that number is from.
Because it leaked, yeah.
I heard Trump say, I thought I heard him say this morning, that we could have 90 or 100,000. I'm like,
that was in the town hall, and Fox News pushed back on him, and he kind of admitted that, it's going to be higher. Gonna be higher than 60,000 originally.
I'm going 90,000. Wait, we're already almost 70,000, and we're gonna reopen. I feel like this whole shutdown, and I've already said it, it's been half ass. The numbers are still big, they're still significant. If opening up means larger numbers, then I don't know. When you throw in all the assholes, I'm not wearing a mask, and people that just can't stop bunching up, nobody tells me not to bunch up in a crowd.
What are these people that want to bunch up anyway?
I don't know. What is this bumping up fetish? What the fuck? I'm just convinced that it's going to be a lot of people, and people are going to have to be going, see, I told you so. And the death totals are just going to keep going up, 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 up. And we're going to see every time it clicks and goes up another one. And people are going to be just flipping out. But I just feel like we didn't really do enough to eradicate it. We've been home for how many weeks? 6 weeks now? And there's still how many deaths every day?
Yeah, but like that story was saying, most of them in prison, most of the infection, the new ones are in prison.
Well, then they should tell us that. Well, because if that's all the deaths are in prison, then I don't fucking care. I mean, I do care. I don't want anyone to die, but I'm just saying that's different.
Sure. And that's kind of,
you know, and I got to tell you, no one ever separates and explains that, well, you know, New York is one third of these. And, you know, if you take out the senior homes and people over 80 and people in prisons, then 16,000 people have died.
And that's
because I think that would be more information that's worth knowing.
Well, plus there's a lot more deaths than what's reported to coronavirus, you know, coronavirus related deaths, because they track total deaths, and it's way above what the norm is right now. I just want to know who, when you get it, who's dying, and how important are they? How important are they to the economy?
I still think we need more data for this. What just annoys the shit out of me. I see stories saying both things. I see a story, one that says, oh my God, oh, many people have died from coronavirus. And we don't even count it. And then you see all these people who say, and these are medical people too, say, anybody that has coronavirus, it's declared the cause of death, even if they were on their death door anyway. And I forgot the percentage, but there's a great percentage of them. There are people who are over 80 years old. That's a lot of people.
Oh, no, I know. That's why I want to know. But to the point about being counted, I mean, if you're on death's door and someone comes in and shoots you, I mean, it's still a shooting. It's corona related.
Well, deaths. But they're highly compromised people.
I know.
It's not the same as a 7-year-old dying. And then, you know, I hear about all these people that they will not send their kids to school. And then this morning there was a story about kids, and yeah, they're really not at risk much. And we talked about the numbers. They're very, very small. And there's a story about my son is, and I felt sorry for this woman. My son is 7-year-old, and he got coronavirus, and he, I believe he was compromised in some way. Anyway, when they put him on the ventilator, maybe, yeah, his heart stopped.
Yeah.
He was dead for 2 minutes. They had to bring him back. First of all, the kid's alive. Kids aren't dying. There are the number of children dying is, I think it's less than school shootings. I think it's probably significantly less than school shootings. It's really a small, small number.
But it's climbing now because of Kawasaki's disease, apparently. It brings
Kawasaki's disease came up. Well, are people dying of Kawasaki's disease?
15. But once again, I.
Then you see the story about the 7-year-old. His heart stopped. And it's like, oh, my kid's not going to school. Fuck that.
But doesn't all this illustrate that I think we just need more data, and it sucks? I don't know. You're not going to see a bunch of big gatherings anytime soon. But
you have stats that are far worse than the ones that I use.
I don't mind not going to concerts and not going to Tiger
Games.
Sure,
but don't you think by the end of this month everything's going to be open? With you know, social distancing rules and...
Well, I don't know, and I just feel like...
And are people going to bitch about that? Well, no, we already see that because people don't want to wear masks.
I think there's a lot of people who are just so independent now who... They've got their voice, they've got their opinion, and everyone matters. We don't do things as one because we all know better.
We're all in this together.
Too many of us know better. So I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. But I just feel like between the election and this, I may lose my fucking mind.
Well, thank God there was the Call to Unite 26-hour live stream global relief effort that I got to say, we read a lot of stuff, the people that do this show. Did any of you guys know that there was something called the Call to Unite 26-hour live stream global relief event this past weekend?
Not really.
Nope. I did not hear about it until it was already over, and I'm bummed because I missed the chance for the millionaires and the billionaires to tell me
exactly
to donate.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, Oprah, P. Diddy, Julia Roberts, Josh Groban.
And they're telling people to give money.
Bill Clinton and George W. Bush all took part of this thing, and I had no idea it even existed.
I didn't even know either. I don't care. I'm sure I didn't miss anything.
Well, let's see. You want to know what you missed? There's some... it began on
Friday. I didn't even know that existed.
Unless Clinton's playing with Zeppelin, then I really don't feel like I missed something.
Well, that's the thing. That just shows you how pointless this whole thing was, because...
And by the way, I don't want Oprah telling me to give money to something. Shut up. That's not a good idea.
Bill Clinton delivered the encouraging message, we can get through this together. And then he said, I'm grateful for the people that are doing their part. For those who would be
I was really just having a little fun.
Aren't we all? You know, for all the talk about, you know, whether we're opening
Jewel
up too fast
says challenges or... make us stronger, too. That was a big, important message
from
Jewel.
Oh, Jewel was there. Great. You know, I'm watching this thing about Metro Airport today. Among a million other shitty things, Chrysler's, we lost $2 billion in the first quarter. And the first quarter is nothing compared to the second quarter. Yeah. When the second quarter numbers start coming in, now we're starting to see people go, I don't have any money left, and I can't get my check, and I can't get all unemployment. And you're finally starting to see those stories instead of – and between the two horrible things going on, the economy and this virus, I mean, it's so fucking depressing, it's hard to handle. And United today, United Airlines, these are the airlines who are getting all kinds of money, getting propped up, even though – they bought their stock back and spent all the fucking money and got what was the corporate income tax went down 12-13%.
Yeah.
And yet 2 days into this, they were out of money. Mm-hmm. The United, what's the point of propping up? They laid off 3,400 people today, 3,400 people. The airport, which employs a shit ton of people.
Plus don't forget United probably had to pay a ton of money to Dr. Dow. No Come doubt. On, Dow, give the money back. Save a job, Dow.
Metro Airport has 103 businesses.
Uh-huh.
When Maj frequents all of them, of course.
They must be hurting. Maj can't shop there.
86 of them. 86 of them are not open.
Really?
86. And they're not sure how many of those 86 are even going to come back.
Why would you? Well, imagine what the rent is at the airport.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's very high, and there's no one there, so who could blame them? But, I mean, those are just a few more 100 jobs lost. Then they're talking about how the airport, they haven't furloughed anyone yet. But, you know, this is the airport authority.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they employ a ton of people. They pay well, too. Those are government jobs, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they haven't furloughed anyone. They haven't laid anyone off. But the problem is that last year in March, 3.2 million people went through the airport, and this year in March, only 1.5 million.
Oh.
And in April, surprise, the number is number's going to be 160,000.
If I flew commercial, I'd have to stop 65% of what I'm doing.
160,000 versus 3.3 million last year. That's the number they're predicting for April. So they're going to have to lay off a lot of people.
I got to tell you, my confidence in the airlines dropped too, watching this guy from United, who wasn't the president. I don't know who he was on GMA 2 days ago.
He's just, I think they just had a call for a management weasel from United, and everyone said, oh, him.
He's talking about the service they provide, but my confidence dropped in him immediately because his connection to the Zoom or whatever they were using was so bad. I'm like, wait, this guy's in charge of an airline? No thanks. I'm not getting on your plane.
Didn't say
if you have
anything.
A shitty connection.
He said
nothing. Nothing. And George was good with him, Stephanopoulos.
Maz actually just texted me and suggested that he's being ghosted.
Oh, you want to call him?
Yeah, let's call him.
And what's the reason for calling him?
The Don Shula eulogy.
Let's see if he does a better eulogy than this guy.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. Well, the NFL lost one of the great ones today.
I'm getting some coffee.
I kind of want to play a new game with Juice. How far into his video will he mention himself and his relation to whatever he's talking about?
That's a good idea. I like it.
This is a 2-minute-long Twitter. How long do you think until he talks about himself in regards to Shula?
He must have known. He must have played for him as an assistant, or he must know someone who played for him.
I'll give you a hint. Who did Juice play for?
Buffalo Bills.
What division are they in?
Oh, they're in the Dolphins division. Of course, yeah. So I played against Don Shula. Very nice fellow.
I murdered his wife.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. Well, the NFL lost one of the great ones today, Don Shula. My condolences to his family.
Hey!
You know, Shula was the one coach I most wanted to play for during my career.
It was 12 seconds in, yeah.
Unfortunately, I had to play against him twice a year in Buffalo against Miami, and never in all of those years did we ever win one game. That no-name defense, boy, were they good. Do you know in back-to-back Super Bowls, winning Super Bowls for them, They gave up one touchdown? One touchdown in two Super Bowls. Think about that. The other game, you're premiering on a special teams. Tried to throw the ball, and Mike Bass took it the other way. But, boy, were those guys good. What's sort of amazing is, you know, only one of those defensive players, Nick Bonacani, is in the NFL Hall of Fame. Not Jake Scott, not Dick Anderson.
You're getting off topic, Juice. Fernandez.
Somehow that doesn't seem right. This morning, talking to two of my buddies, talking about Shula, we were putting together a Mount Rushmore of NFL coaches, and three guys were cinches: Vince Lombardi, Don Shula, of course, and Bill Belichick.
Wait, so OJ's talking to his buddies on the phone, and they go to the most stereotypical, boring sports radio bit: the Mount Rushmore of coaches. Can someone please give OJ a TV show or a sports talk show?
He's got to have Lombardi, Landry, right?
What's that? Tom Landry?
Doesn't Landry have to be the other four?
Oh, well, if you really want to go down this path. Who did he say? I didn't even hear who he said. Shula, maybe. Belichick.
Chuck Knoll.
George Halas. Wayne Fonts.
Vince Lombardi. Don Shula, of course.
Oh, Vince.
And Bill Belichick. We kind of differed on the fourth guy. One guy's older than me, even, and he said George Halas.
And I killed him because he's wrong.
Tom Landry. Joe Gibbs, who had a remarkable career. And the guy that I went with was Chuck Knoll. He won four
Super Bowls. There you go. You and the Juice, Brandon.
Four Super Bowls. That's saying something. It was tough for me to leave off a guy who, one of my favorite people, who actually benched me at the end of my career.
Hilarious.
But, and that was Bill Walsh. But Bill didn't even win 100 games. Even though his effect on the game of football, especially offense, is undeniable. But maybe he and Shula coaching against each other again up there.
Yeah, because it did.
In any event.
Maybe Nicole see him.
My condolences. Rest in peace. I'm just saying.
Rest in peace.
Take care. Stay healthy.
Why is
COVID-19.
Why is he doing any kind of eulogy? The man most appropriate to do a eulogy is Tom Manzo.
Can you hear me? Can you feel me near you?
Crap.
Tommy, can you see me?
I do love the smell of pot.
Ooh, Tommy. Tommy. Tommy.
See, pound salt.
Hello.
I was getting worried that you screen calls now.
No, no screening.
How are you, buddy?
Good, man. What's up? How's everyone?
Good, good. Drew just went upstairs to glob up or get coffee or something.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, Brent.
Hey, really?
Like, Steve, you had Isaiah Thomas on the Rap with Maz?
We did. He was great.
Oh, he's the worst. Did he make more excuses about the Jordan thing?
No, not at all. Just, you know, Terry, I did it with Terry Foster and Jimmy King. We did the interview together, and those guys have a lot of great stories about Isaiah, and, you know, it was just fun to catch up with him. It was his birthday, too. It was perfect.
It was his birthday. How important. I got to tell you, you know, grew up a Detroit sports fan my whole life. I've never liked Isaiah. Just never liked the guy. Nope. Something always.
I did. I liked him because A, he was good. B, when you played the Pistons on NBA Jam, you got Bill Laimbeer and Isaiah Thomas. And then when the updated version of NBA Jam came out, I think you could switch out for shit. I want to say it was
great. How could you not like him, Mark?
Oh, I know he's a great player. He's a fine player. I just
is that Thomas A. Yeah.
I just didn't like him as a human being.
Hey, Drew.
Hey, Maz.
How are you, man?
So, good, good. Did you guys cover Don Shula?
Oh, I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
No, I fully played the OJ Shulagy for Don. And,
that was nice. I'm glad. Drew, he was talking about Isaiah Thomas was on with us last week, so he was mentioning how he never liked him as a Detroiter.
Yeah, no, not one of them.
A lot of people didn't like him. I find a lot of people who I would think like him don't like him. Just people who are Pistons fans.
Yeah.
But Maz, Don Shula, not only did he have the undefeated team in 72, he had the Don Shula Steakhouse in Troy. I have to believe you've enjoyed a meal at Don Shula Steakhouse.
I did. I used to do the Robert Porcher show there once a week during the football season. Yeah.
Wait, what?
It was great.
Wait, what year was that?
Let's see. Probably 98 to
I didn't even know that existed.
Was that for JR?
Yeah, it was for JR.
Really? And did you get a, did you guys get a giant crowd for that?
We didn't get a huge crowd, but we got a pretty good crowd, believe it or not.
Really?
Did you eat for free?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, of course.
Of course.
Okay, well, let me rephrase that. I know you ate for free. Was it comped, or did the station have to pay for it? Or did poor shape it?
No, that was comped.
Really?
Was comped.
Wow.
They took good care of us. What, yeah, now, they took good care of us.
What was the talent fee for that show?
Great memories of Don Shula.
Would we pay poor shape? I don't know what we paid.
No, your talent fee. You didn't get a talent fee?
No, I just did the show.
They paid him in steak.
Part of my deal.
WJR, who bills more money than anyone, in 1998, they were probably billing $30 million a year, and they can't pay a fucking talent fee for you to go out to Troy to a steakhouse?
I'm sure they paid Courtney or Dickerson, whoever did the show. It was one or the other.
Wait, I thought you did the show.
I did, with one of them.
Well, then why would they get paid and not you?
Because, you know, that's just the way it goes.
You know,
wait, were you talent or were you a producer?
Damn it!
I was both. I did both things.
You should have got paid.
Bullshit.
I want to spend a whole week revisiting talent fees. All the talent fees ripoffs in radio over the years here in Detroit. It's crazy, and people are fascinated by this.
Mm-hmm. Back in the day, they really paid good talent fees. That's what I hear, at least.
They made a shit ton of money. How could they make you drive to Troy, hang out, you got to get there a little early, then you got to eat your giant meal afterwards, you probably got to undo your belt, and sit there for a half hour, drive home. It's probably a three-hour deal. No talent fee?
Easy, Drew. 3 hours.
Who was your boss?
At that time, it was Al Mayer.
Did you ever talk to Al Mayer? You know, Al, it seems like there ought to be some kind of talent, some remuneration for this.
He was from Boston. He would have told me, well, they're mad that there's a lot of people that would do it there for nothing. You know, you don't want to do it. Stay back.
That's one of the great, that's pretty high in the list of management responses to that question.
Since we're talking about talent fees, I would like to point out there was a time or two when Drew and Mike would get a talent fee, and then you paid it down to the interns.
That's true. Yeah.
People don't know that. You guys were very generous.
That was nice.
Yeah.
That was nice of you, Drew. I never got one of those from the JR guys.
Did Mitch ever do that?
No.
What about Brian Dickerson? You said Brian Dickerson was part of the show?
Dan Dickerson,
yeah.
Oh, Dan Dickerson was part of the show.
Yeah.
Did he give you part of his talent fee?
Oh, I'm sure he got a talent fee, of course.
No, but did he give you part of it just to appreciate
it? No, I've never gotten a penny from anybody.
Did Warren Pierce ever let you drive one of those cars?
No, Warren Pierce did not let me drive it. No, he did not.
What is your experience?
Leave Warren alone.
Did you? Maz, have you checked in on Warren's internet show?
What?
Wait,
I have not, but he's on DFN on the weekends too, right?
Yeah, that's right. He's on DFN, and apparently, it sounds. Did you read the story?
No. I think I did. Didn't Ruben write it? Was it Ruben?
I think it was Neil. Yeah. It made me kind of sad. I was kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know what? I've talked to him since then. He's really enjoying it.
Oh, okay.
He is. Now, are his sponsors coming through?
Yeah, I don't know if he has as many as he had on JR, but he has people that, you know, still like him and still support him. Yeah, he still has some people.
That's really cool because there's no one listening.
Of course.
I mean, you got to love a sponsor that has no audience whatsoever, but they like the talent so much and they've been so loyal to them for so long that they continue to support them, even though they receive no remuneration whatsoever. So it's basically,
how many people do you think listen to them on the weekends at JR?
They should be able to write it off. It should be a write-off, technically. It should be charitable. Yeah. Can't they make it a charity somehow for the sponsors?
Make it five
write-off. Hey,
I'm sorry.
He's the guy that taught me, as a producer, how to call internationally. I was a champ at calling internationally.
Whoa.
Wow. Okay, country code for the UK.
No, I couldn't give you country
44.
Code.
44. Country code for France.
You win.
49, I think. did Warren Pierce, he must have taught you how to ask for stuff.
No. Come on, Mark.
What do you mean?
Nobody had to teach me that.
It's just in your genes. Warren was good at it, too.
That was with me from birth.
Now, I know you've been working on this, and I don't want you to give away the whole show, but what is happening on the next Rap with Maz?
I have Scott Mitchell on today.
Scott Mitchell?
Scott Mitchell, because he played his first 4 years with Don Shula. Don Shula drafted
him. That's right. That's
right. Yeah, nice. Ridiculous.
So I had him on, and then, of course, I spun it into the Lions after that. He was great.
Yeah, he was good with Eli and Denny, too.
He was
they
terrific.
Had him first. Let the record
they did have him first, well, Maz.
I had him before that.
When are you going to have Drew on?
I'm waiting for a good spot for Drew.
I mean, he could have been on the show about, you know, paying college football players instead of Ivan Mazel. You know,
well, Ivan Mazel, you know, he lives college football.
Well, so
do you think he's 24/7. So Ivan Mazel's more of a draw in Detroit than me?
No. Probably not many people know who Ivan Mazel is. If not a huge sports fan.
I don't know. I thought the object was download. Just saying.
I know, Drew. I'm not the brightest bulb. How
is NRM holding up through the coronavirus?
We're holding up. We're doing all right, man. Like I said, I'm trying to get the best guests on, have some fun, and just put out some decent stuff that once in a while gets on the air.
Now, the sponsors sticking with NRM, like with Warren Pierce?
Yes, we do have our stalwarts. We still have them.
I guess, right now,
it's a little bit lower, as you know.
Yeah.
You can't ask people for money when not many people are working.
I know. It's a tough time.
Social distancing is still lacking on the show, I will say.
Yeah, I see people sitting close together, Maz.
I'm worried about you.
No. It's just me and Clarence sitting halfway close.
Super close, man.
4 feet.
It's supposed to
What's
be six.
Wrong with six?
Well, I guess I could spread it out a little bit more, but, you know, I'm still comfortable. We disinfect. I'm clean. He's clean.
You're so going to pass it on to somebody asymptomatically.
No. Maz, we've gotten a lot of email from people who want to get in touch with you about throwing parades for their kids' birthdays.
Really?
Yeah, and a couple of them want
to
know
about... Make some money on this?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, you've thrown some amazing ones so far, but they're requesting some fire trucks, too. So if you can look into that.
I'll tell you what. This Sunday is Abby's Sweet 16.
Oh.
So look for something pretty big there.
What, you got another? Sure. Do you have another parade of police agencies coming through?
Abby! I'm not gonna ruin the surprise for her.
She doesn't listen to this show.
You never know. There's people that listen. Believe me.
There are a lot of narcs.
How's this? I'm going to tell you this. How's this? I'm going to do it. This is a half shout out. Yesterday,
that's getting bleaked.
My girls are on a Zoom with their volleyball team and their head coach. And he is talking to all the girls, both teams, JV and varsity. And he is like, and those Mazaway girls, I hear what they're doing on their on this break because I listen to the Drew and Mike show every day. I've been listening to them for the last 25 years. And I want a shout out. That's what he asked for.
Wow.
Your boy T-Maz ready to step up to the mic. Sounds like it's time for a
shout out.
He sold a car. It's your birthday. You're a celebrity. How's your grandma? Friend of the show. You're related. You're not related. He just met you. You like Seinfeld. You like big girls. Too Mandy Moore. You sent a t-shirt. Who's going to ship it? It's not a sports podcast.
You coach your kids in volleyball.
Lakeview Volleyball.
What's his name?
Tom Pfeiffer.
Tom Pfeiffer.
Fife dog.
Well, appreciate the Tom Pfeiffer.
He's a huge fan of you guys. We're a huge fan of his.
Well, maybe we can have a volleyball segment on the show one of these days.
That would be awesome.
Along
volleyball
with the
rock.
Revisiting talent.
Have a volleyball segment. What are you talking about?
Hey, I'll tell you what. Boys get ripped off on that sport. They should be playing as well.
Guys don't play volleyball?
Are you going to start an equality movement?
I think boys should be playing volleyball.
On the girls' team? Just make it one team? Because you know what will happen.
No, they're equal. Guys and girls are equal.
They play in the Olympics.
I used to be on a men's I guess it was boys volleyball team because it was eighth grade. We had a volleyball team.
Bloop. What position were you good at?
I thought I was a pretty good server. I don't know. I probably sucked.
You probably did.
I can't jump, so.
Man, another important question for Maz. Was it sports?
It was Shula?
No, definitely was not about Shula.
Man, is there anything you want to say about the 72 Dolphins that hasn't been covered?
I do, Drew. You know, that was my first favorite team growing up. Besides, of course, the Jets Giants.
I was just going to say, what about the Jets?
Well, the Jets Giants sucked back then, okay? So you're growing up. I'm 8 years old. 9 years old, what? The Dolphins win that double overtime game against the Chiefs. They get in the Super Bowl. They lose to the Cowboys, and then they come back the next year and they're undefeated. And they should have won 17-0 to be 17-0. How about that?
But Mike Bass,
if Darrell Yefremian didn't botch the field goal.
Mike Bass, that man,
right there.
Wait a sec. You weren't a fan of the Namath Jets, wasn't that 3 years earlier?
Of course I was.
Well, then how could the Dolphins be your first?
They
so confused. You said that was your first favorite team.
NFL team, my first favorite NFL team.
So you didn't like the 69 Jets?
He was too young.
I was too young.
Okay. Maz, what about
that's all I was wondering.
What about the 72 Jets? Namath led the league in passing that year.
Bloop. Do you remember his backup?
Bob Davis.
Bloop. That is true, but then it was Al Woodall.
What about, Al Woodall. What about, Jerome Bockham.
Jerome Bockham, number 88, right there.
Who was the other great wideout they had? Richard Kastner. He was a tight end.
He would
go long, too. And then they had Don Maynard, George Sauer, Emerson Boozer, Matt Snell. John Riggins.
Stop it.
John Riggins was a Jet.
He was. They
originally
drafted him.
He was badass.
Never heard of him. Next.
Namath used to do the Statue of Liberty. I swear to God he did it. And Riggins took the ball off his arm.
Not right. That was not right.
All right. And then there was number 7, Little Eddie Bell.
Eddie Bell!
Tom, have you checked in with your St. Clair Shores Police Department friends? Did you see what happened at Nino's? Oh, no!
I did.
Oh, major coffee spill. Hang on. Major coffee spill.
Oh, God.
All over Drew's pants.
Oh, my God.
Here.
It could have been worse.
Did they ever caulk this board?
I'm going to get some paper.
That's the biggest disaster possibly ever.
This is a massive coffee spill.
Was that the Dunkin' Donuts mug?
No, it's his giant Beatles mug that probably holds about 21 ounces of coffee. Of Death Wish coffee. Use promo Drew15. And it went all
How
over
about
his
that
pants.
Son of a bitch fraud that did that. What a bitch.
Yeah. Okay, so back to what we were talking about. She spit on some of the officers there because she refused to wear a mask. Talked about it a little bit earlier. I honestly was wondering if you knew those officers.
Man's there?
Were you there, Tom?
I'm here still.
No, were you there when it happened?
No, I was not there. We don't know anyone that was there. We just read about it like you guys. We heard about it through the grapevine.
So you,
it's out there.
Did you check on your police friends to make sure they were okay?
I did not.
Well, that's nice.
Want me to have them call in?
Well, no, I just mean, you know, they did do a parade for you.
Well, Sunday. We'll see. Maybe even the fire department.
What have you done for me lately, huh?
Exactly. We got to step it up.
Call the fire department. This one's out of control.
What's that?
How are your girls, Mark and Brandon?
They're good. Mine are good.
Yeah, Madeline's doing great. She's growing like a weed, bro.
Yeah.
Awesome. Did you replace little Billy yet?
I've been thinking about it. I've actually looked at a few different places, but it's actually really hard to get a dog right now because I think a lot of people went and they scooped them up. But I think we're going to get one soon because it's a good time. We know that at least my wife is going to be home for a long, long time because of this coronavirus crap. So it'll give us an opportunity to get a dog without having to leave him for 8 hours a day, you know, at home.
Tom,
perfect.
I'm really intrigued. Okay, so besides going to work at the studios, where else have you gone recently? Because you love to shop.
The only place I go is I'll go to Kroger or Costco, of course, with masks. That's it.
Maz, did you know 85 of the 103 airport stores are closed?
That's a sin.
I know.
There's just not enough traffic for them.
Well, yeah, they're counting on you to shop there.
I'm sitting with a flight that we were going to go to Florida on, and they wouldn't give me our money back. So now we have flight money to spend, and I have to spend it in the next few months. Otherwise, we lose it.
Wait, so they wouldn't – let me ask you this, though. They wouldn't offer you your money back? Like, they didn't give you What if you needed that money?
They don't give a shit.
That's really horseshit.
I don't know anybody that's flown that has gotten their money back. Had a flight canceled because they didn't officially cancel the flights, Mark. You had your option to go.
You ever joined the Mile High Club?
That's incredible, isn't it? And by the way, some of those planes are crowded, which people don't want to go on is bullshit. And the other thing I was going to say, wait, about Oh, Maz, your Tigers tickets in the Champions Club?
Yeah.
Today, I finally received something that they are willing to refund April and May.
Nice.
So apparently the season starting June 1st.
I love it, Drew. I can't wait.
And we will be assaulting the buffet. But no.
We will.
They haven't even talked about playing a game in front of fans at home. That's not even an option, so I can understand.
I know.
Why would they not offer to refund you the whole season? But here's the funniest part. They mentioned in my email that if you're on the payment plan, which means that since October, I think you've been paying, you know, hundreds of dollars a month or whatever, yeah. But you have like three payments left. They said if you're on the payment plan, your next payment is due May 11th.
Oh, my God.
What?
They'll even defer it.
Oh, man.
Who would make a payment for 2020? It's so ridiculous.
That's phenomenal.
Well, how about the fact, are you not going to donate them? Remember, you could donate them or they would donate it in your name.
Yeah,
right?
Which that's so nice of them. I pay for them, and then they donate them.
Well, it would be donated, ooh, really, in Tom's name, I would assume.
But that's so nice.
We still have the donation to St. Joan tickets coming up here.
Of course. Yeah. No, the tickets are here. They're here.
Whose names
are spoken for?
They're here.
They're spoken.
Let them use those tickets.
Yeah. Let them have the May 1st ticket.
What?
The May 11th ticket.
But isn't the amazing thing, you can have the May 11th tickets. The amazing thing is that they think that we don't know how to donate tickets to a charity?
No.
Because I've been doing that for years.
They prefer to do it their own way, Drew.
Well, that way they get paid for the ticket. That's a nice thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
As opposed to tickets we've already purchased that aren't being used. But
hey,
anyway.
Did you guys watch The Bird last night, Fidrich?
I did not.
That Monday night game against the Yankees.
They replayed that game? That was a two-hitter, wasn't it?
Every night is a great game. Every night has been a great game.
What channel was that on?
That was on Fox Sports Detroit, but then ESPN's got games, and FS1's got games, NBC Sports Network's got games. I watched the Rose Bowl the other day.
Oh, that sounds like a great one.
The
Spartans, when they beat Rodney Pete and USC.
I'm starting to think that actually, overall, all things considered, the coronavirus has been enjoyed by Mavs because he's gotten to watch so many sports and old sports.
Listen to me. This is the God's honest truth. I really enjoyed my time so far.
And I know you don't mean any ill will by that, but it's
of course not.
It works perfectly with your lifestyle and the things you enjoy.
It does. I mean, I haven't missed a beat. I don't miss real sports.
Except,
I truly don't.
Except you do have to stay home more than I think you would like.
He goes to the studio.
That's true.
I don't mind. I get out a few days. I've been walking a lot.
Really?
I've been outside, walking the dog.
Is the pool open?
The pool is ready to have the tarp taken off of it. There's no water left on the tarp.
Well.
The water will be like 58 degrees, though. I don't know if the girls will like
it. Be sure to bring a towel so you don't get all wet.
Well, tell them to buy a heater if they don't like it. They can pay for it.
That's expensive.
I spilled so much coffee that I'm actually cold now because there's so much coffee on my pants, my blue jeans, and it's getting cold. And I spilled out of my yellow submarine, my Beatles yellow submarine mug, which someone very special gave me. And it is huge. Yeah. It's the biggest mug. Oh, my God. It's gigantic. There's so much coffee in there. And I spilled all of it because
all over your pants.
I got so excited when I thought of number 7, Eddie Bell, little Eddie Bell.
Eddie Bell.
That Layla started barking because I stood
up
and was yelling. And she got fired up. And then I just knocked the coffee over.
I think I'm going to need to
change my
pants.
Come on up here, Layla.
We better get moving, Maz. You want to be around for the end of the show?
Hey, happy Cinco de Mayo to everybody.
Thank you, Maz.
Appreciate
gracias.
It, thanks for thinking of me, guys.
Technically still Cinco de Mayo. All right, Maz, we'll be listening to the rap.
Thanks, brother.
Okay, man.
And especially,
can't wait to have you on.
So I was going to say, we'll especially be listening when Drew's on.
Yeah, do you know
happens.
How about I have you and Mark and Brandon on as a triple
at the same time?
Yeah.
There's not enough social distancing in that room.
You could Zoom it. Do they Zoom shows,
man? Am I on the end of the show?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Love the end of the show.
Maz, Maz, do they Zoom shows out there?
Yeah, we do it. Darren McCarty does a lot of that. Terry and Jimmy do it. Terry Foster, Jimmy King do it with us. I'm in the studio. They're at home.
Wait.
It worked out fine.
We saw, Tom, you did it with your friends from Jersey.
I know, I know.
It sounded great.
That was a great get, Mark, or Maz.
I know. I'm going to try that again. I know you guys really enjoyed it.
Well, the echo made it a little tough, but it was a great get.
I know. It's great.
What show do you think gets the most downloads? Jimmy King and Terry Foster, Darren McCarty, or the Rap with Maz?
It's got to be a tie. It's a triple threat right there.
I don't know what to make of that answer.
He doesn't want to answer.
I have no clue.
You seriously don't know? You have no idea
about numbers?
I really don't. So I'm afraid to ask, to be honest with you.
Seriously, I think your show's doing fine.
I think it's fine.
I would imagine it's doing pretty well.
I hope so.
Just saying.
It can only get better.
All right. Well, if I come in there, I'll ask your boss.
All right, brother.
Okay, Maz. We'll see you, bro.
Love you, guys.
Love you, Maz.
Hi, Tommy.
See ya.
Thomas A. Mazoway. And Little Eddie Bell gets credit for the huge coffee spill. Oh, is that a big coffee spill?
Nasty.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Biggest disaster possibly.
I hope Millwork caulked this table.
I'm going to tell you what. Oh, I almost crashed with hot coffee between my legs. But, you know, you put a pipe between my legs. Oh, man. The thought.
Hi, everybody. It is the Dad and Charlotte podcast. The coronavirus version, right, Charlotte?
Right.
And how is your quarantining staying at home, Ben?
Good. I like it.
You like it?
Yeah, because I get to play with my sister and my mama. And sometimes you when you're home.
Yeah, I know. Has Dad been working a lot?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
And let's see. What has happened since the beginning of this year? What have we missed?
School.
But you're doing school on the computer, right?
Right.
And how's that going?
Good.
What happened on your birthday? That was before coronavirus. How old did you turn and what happened?
I turned 6 years old and I got the flu when that happened.
That wasn't much fun, right? But didn't you and I spend a lot of time together?
Yeah, we built a very big Lego.
Yeah, who gave you that big Lego? Do you remember?
Uncle Dan.
Yeah, Uncle Danny did. And then that was February, then March came and coronavirus came. And what happened this month in April? Did anybody else have a birthday?
Annie, my sister.
And how old did Annie turn?
2.
Tell me about Annie. Did you get along with her?
Yes.
What do you guys like doing together?
Playing and pretending.
Is she good at playing and pretending?
Yes, yeah, she's good at being the baby and the baby sister. Yesterday we had Biddy outside and she was being really good helping with Biddy, the big sister.
What else have you been doing during coronavirus? We're pretty much stuck inside, right?
Can't we tell everybody about the presents that I got and Ian got?
Oh, yeah. Tell us all about the new presents that you got.
I got some water bath towels.
Do you and your sister sometimes fight over the water bath towels?
Yes. Yesterday, she wouldn't let me have any of them, and then I got one from her, and then she gave me my other favorite one, and then I got to play with all 3 of them because she gave me both 2.
Yeah, because sometimes she just grabs stuff and wants to keep it, but then she usually gives it right back up, huh?
Yeah.
Do you ever play with her stuff?
Sometimes. She got some rock crystal gems that she has that she's liking a lot. And I've mostly got, like, a couple turns. I don't know how many, but I've got a couple turns. And on Zoom for my show and tell, is going to be those rock crystal gems. You pop them open with a special tool. There's a hammer and like a nail thing, and then you pop them into a special hole and you hammer them down, cool. And then there's special crystals inside. You can put them up to your eye and they look cool, and everything looks red, blue, teal, and green. Like
I know, you keep telling me that I'm green, aren't you? Don't you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you like green?
I don't. You know I don't like green.
Yes, you do.
Why do you think I like green?
Because I do, and because everybody else does.
No, I think green stinks and smells.
It does not.
Why do you think I think green stinks and smells?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Now, our opening song was called
Let's Go Crazy by Prince.
And why do we like playing that song?
Because you showed me the video.
And we like to go crazy, don't we?
Yeah.
What else do you know about Prince?
I don't know anything.
Did he ever change his name?
Yes.
What did he change it to?
The artist formerly known as Prince.
And how you surprised me with that fact. I didn't tell you that. How did you know that that's what he did, that he changed his name?
Listening to an Audible book called Stella Batts Needs a New Name.
Is Stella Batts pretty much your favorite book, or do you like Ivy and Bean better?
Stella better.
You like Stella Batts better? Should we get more Stella Batts books?
We don't have any, though. We're going to go for a 2-hour drive, I thought.
A 2-hour? Oh, because someone's selling books online. Well, or maybe we could order some from Amazon if you fill up your star chart.
They're not available.
What? How do you know that?
Mama looked.
Oh, and she told you. Okay. Can I ask you about coronavirus?
Yes.
What do you know about coronavirus? Tell me, do you know how you get the virus, how you don't get the virus?
Mm-hmm. How you get the virus, if you're around somebody that has it, you have to wear a mask every time you go out, unless you'll get it if you don't wear a mask. But then it's a law now that you have to wear a mask or you'll get, you'll have to get a mask.
Well, it's not a law, but a business could say you can't come in here if you don't have a mask on, but it's just safer to wear a mask, right?
And Mama got me and Annie some unicorn ones from a store.
What? I didn't know that. Did she get me a unicorn one?
They only come in kid sizes.
You don't think I can wear a kid size mask?
No.
Why?
Because that's not going to work.
So what happens if somebody gets coronavirus? What do you know about that?
So, old people would have to go to a hospital if they can't breathe, or people would just have to go to a hospital if they can't breathe. But some people, if you can breathe, can stay home, but you just have to stay locked in a room for a couple of days. Some friend that my mama knows, I don't know the kids, but their names are Evelyn and Felicity. Their mama had it, but now she's all better.
Yeah, because she's a healthcare worker, right?
Right.
But we also have friends that work at the hospital that don't have it.
Yeah. I forgot who, though.
I think you know the Bakers.
Yes, I know that.
And you know they work at the hospital, right?
Yes.
Which makes me think, do you miss your friends?
Yeah, I made a book for my friends, Sam and me. We have a couple stuff to do in there, and I'm going to show my mama it.
I saw that book. I thought that book was really cool, very creative. Well done.
Yeah, it's called Sam and Charlotte Fun. He drew me a birthday card, and then there we get to do some crossword puzzles, and we get to play outside on my swing set that I have.
Do you know what social distancing means?
No.
How many feet away are you supposed to stay from someone else?
6 feet.
Now, when Sam came over, did he stay 6 feet away?
Sort of.
He did at first, right?
Yeah.
And then you guys started climbing a tree, and Dad said, I think you two need to play together because you guys haven't seen anybody, so I thought it was worth the risk.
Okay.
That's it. That's all you say is, okay. What are you doing? Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
What?
Tell everyone what you're doing.
I'm holding the microphone.
Yeah? Don't break it. Whose microphone is that?
Miss Trudy's.
But now people can't hear me. Do you think people want to hear me or you?
Me.
I think you're right. No one ever wants to hear me, do they?
No.
Not only on the podcast I do, but no one listens to me here either, do they?
That's because I don't like you.
What do you mean you don't?
I'm joking.
You're overmodulating when you do that.
I'm joking. Everybody likes you.
Nah, I know that's not true. Everybody in this house likes me? Hey, we didn't tell everybody. Where are we recording this at in our house?
In the mom and dad's closet.
And why are we recording in mom and dad's closet?
Because we have to be away from Annie.
But why else? Why'd we choose the closet?
Because it doesn't echo, and I see a camera up there, the pink camera.
Oh, yeah. Why is the pink camera in here?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I think that's good for now, right?
Right. Can we do another one?
Sure. Maybe not today. We gotta let this charge up, and I want to hear how this sounds because we're doing it a little differently, right?
Bye, everybody in the whole world. Stay safe. Make sure you don't get coronavirus. Bye.
literally looking at my neighbors now and going, I'm ready to hang them up and gut them and skin them and chop them up. You know what? I'm ready. I'm ready. I'll barbecue your ass. I will eat you.